Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop the QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
On today's Part of My Take, week 16, we got a recap of every single game. Who's back of the week? Fastest 2 minutes. Playoff implications up the ass. We literally spent all day watching football, just throwing, lobbing playoff scenarios at each other, trying to figure it out. That's what we don't need. No nerd. We don't need Steve Kornacki telling us what to do. We have our dumb brains in the playoff machine.
I need my two hands, one computer on the playoff machine, the other on 538's playoff simulator, like Alicia Keys, playing both at the same time, getting all the scenarios right. I feel like I'm ready, but I feel like once I learn a new thing, I forget the last thing.
But it's also fun to like unravel the new thing. Like, ooh, I didn't even realize this. Mm-hmm. We'll get to all of that. Full show, live show of 2020. We have a best of coming on Wednesday with some new interviews.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to ASPCA. Today is Monday, December 28th, and it is week 16. Quinceañera? No, Quinceañera is 15.
Yeah.
Quinceañera plus one.
Sweet 16.
I didn't do well in Spanish class. We start in Las Vegas, where Tua was playing like Pua, and the Dolphins played Tua's occult chairs with their quarterbacks, bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick Mahomes and a no-look pass to win the game. Josh Jacobs Marley kept the chains moving, but it was the ghost of Gruden's past that haunted the Raiders on Saturday night as a coach watched his team suffer another late-season collapse. Jason Footprints in the Sanders was carried by Jesus above the crossbars as Dolphins get their one step closer to the playoffs. Dolphins 26, the Raiders 25.
What?
In Pittsburgh, where Philip Three Rivers met the Steelers for a game with all the playoff implications, Ben Roethlisberger was brooding in the first half, but then found the cure in the second for a furious Steelers comeback. James Joyce Conner wrote another chapter in the Steelers' odyssey. And look away, Joe Buck, as Michael Jackson Tomlin has the Steelers moonwalking into the playoffs. As Big Ben took a look in the mirror and saw an AFC North champion. Steelers 28, the Colts 24.
In Jacksonville, where the Bears win B.I.G. big, looking so good I want to suck on your daddy's dick. But this, with just me and my Mitch, Mike Vladimir Glennon passed away and left the Russian attack stalling. Jimmy Two Times Graham played basketball in college, and caught a pair of scores in the blowout in a touching tribute to their former general manager and coach Tom Coughlin. The Jaguars are officially on the clock for the number one pick 1 week early. Bears 41, Jaguars 17.
What? What? Did someone shit in the jacuzzi? Because the Browns got in the hot tub time machine to relive some old school misery in the Meadowlands on Sunday. Jameson Irish Whiskey Crowder threw up a shot in the first half to get the Jets going, and they never looked back. The Browns receivers went mask off, putting their future in jeopardy as the LeBrowns James Jr. are smashing like on their fifth loss of the year. Jets 23, the Browns 16.
In Kansas City, where my good friends Dan Lebatard Quinn and Matt Mike Ryan Ruiz will no longer be seen on ESPN come January as the Falcons have been eliminated from the playoffs. While former Chief Larry Johnson stays woke, these Chiefs sleepwalked through the first three quarters of the game, almost fumbling away an easy win. Fumble! The kicker from the A-team missed a tee, shot wide right to bring the game to overtime, leaving fans shouting, "I pity the coup!" Chiefs clinched the one seed, 17-14.
Over to Baltimore, where J.K. Rowling Dobbins was very offensive towards Martinez, Peppers, Crowder, and the rest of the Giants' pronouns. Wayne Gallman Milk couldn't stop the Giants' offense from having IBS and pooping all over themselves. Ravens fans feeling like they're taking a super dose of MDMA as everyone all over Baltimore is throwing up the X as Dez Bryant finds the end zone again. The Ravens, 27. The Giants, 13.
Sorry, where were we? I was just dropping off some of the little swamis at the swimming pool, if you know what I mean. Oh yeah. Bucks 47, Lions 7.
And down to Washington, where T. Dwayne Haskins was in love with a stripper, but he's unable to hit the dub. Taylor Heineke Car Care Bowl couldn't fix the football team's muffled punt, and Teddy Roosevelt Bridgewater has Washington's fans missing their cousins, or at the very least, a leader whose legs don't work. Mr. Smith, please report to Washington. The Panthers take down the football team, 20-13.
Sticking in the NFC beast, where Jalen Hurts so good hurts no good. And Jalen played like a Hurts rent-a-Carson Wentz as Eagles fans are confused on who they want to be their quarterback. Michael Scott McCarthy smashed a watermelon, making everyone who bet on the Eagles feel like ignorant sluts. And the Cowboys, unlike their owner, are very much alive, heading into Week 17 as Michael gallop in these guts. Fuck the Eagles secondary all afternoon long. The Eagles, the Cowboys, a lot. The Eagles, a little.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston down in NOLA, such a fine sight to see. It's Taysom Hill, my lord, vulturing Alvin scores and stopping Kamara from getting 7 TDs. Come on, Zimmer, your future's dimmer. Did Breeze get his ribs removed? He's looking slimmer.
Saints go marching.
All right. Week 16 in the books. That was the fastest 2 minutes in sports. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, week 16. The Packers might be a decent football team.
Packers in the snow, in
That's
Green Bay.
That's cheating. That's cheating.
Also, Aaron Rodgers went too fast for one of the refs tonight.
That's cheating.
He pulled a hard count on the officials. And then the next time that they got the ball, they snapped it before Mike Vrabel could take a look at the replay and throw a challenge flag. So, Aaron Rodgers is a very good player. Very good MVP, some might say. Everyone's turning this into like a, if Patrick Mahomes had these numbers, Aaron Rodgers. Actually, you know what I saw a little bit of tonight for the first time in a long time? If Aaron Rodgers was going through these speed bumps like Patrick Mahomes is going through, the media would turn on Aaron Rodgers immediately.
Right.
So you have to look at everything good that Aaron Rodgers does through a prism of what if it happened to another good player.
Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. It sucks. If I had a vote, I wouldn't vote for him. But I don't have a vote, so I have to just sit here and say he is most likely going to win the MVP. It's probably deserved. The Packers look awesome. Blah, 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 blah. The Titans are, I don't know what. I mean, they're kind of what we think. Like, they're just, they can look explosive sometimes, but their defense is not good.
This was the Fraud Bowl.
It was the Fraud Bowl, and the Titans unfortunately lost the Fraud Bowl. I don't believe in the Titans. But then you say to yourself, but Derrick Henry just fucking jam it down someone's throat. I just don't think their defense can hang. Their defense can't hang. Mm-hmm. Like, they just can't.
No, they have no pass rush. They have zero pass rush.
And they just don't get off the field on third down. So I do think it was cheating. I opted out of this game as soon as the Packers started kicking the shit out of them. I opted back in when the Titans made a five-point game. But the snow was cheating, and the Packers look really good, and whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's big of you, though, to admit that they looked really good.
They
looked
really good.
Do you think that it would be appropriate of me to use a connection that I have to try to get the Titans better with the pass rush, better on defense?
Yes. No, wait. No, do it.
Not for the Titans.
Yeah.
So Clay Matthews wants to come back and play.
Okay, do it.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
You're listening to the show right now.
Yeah.
This is me networking with Clay Matthews, whomst I played Call of Duty with the other night.
Okay.
He said he's in pretty good shape. Now, if this
He could get you at least three roughing the passer penalties at the worst possible time.
Now, Mike Vrabel, if this means that you're going to cut a boy to bring in Clay Matthews, please ignore everything that I just said.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. But if it means that Clay can stick around.
Well, no, if you want to cut Taylor, that's fine.
Yeah, you can cut Taylor.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
He won't
just
mind.
Don't cut the boy.
The boy.
With the terrible haircut.
Who also had, the peaky fucking Will Compton.
I mean, I get what he was doing because he unveiled the Peaky Blinders look after, but you got to do the Peaky Blinders look first.
No, it was the big reveal. So you know nothing about showmanship, big
dude.
Cat.
But
this is boys being boys. This was a guy
getting the haircut on its own. Like, I actually said to myself, did he cut his own hair?
Yeah, no,
I think he might have. Yeah, I think actually he did.
It looked like, I don't want to say it was a bowl cut. It was more like a yarmulke cut.
It looked like when they were hazing Tim Tebow.
Yeah, well, reverse.
Yeah.
Reverse of
but,
that.
But it was that bad.
It was pretty bad. But,
hey.
Yeah, don't cut that.
Also,
boy.
Halloween was like 2 months ago.
Who cares, man? It's called cosplaying, big cat.
Whatever.
Don't you know anything about cosplay?
I shouldn't be hating. Listen, his look was the definition of tough. When I saw that, I said to myself, I saw his Instagram, I was like, damn, he looks tough.
I think you're legally allowed to kill somebody if you're dressed. If you got like a pocket watch hanging out.
I couldn't pull it off.
It's like.
Definitely not.
You look like a bootlegger from the 20s.
Yeah, no, he looked tough and real.
And then I'd also like to bring, if we're talking about cheating, Devontae Adams' cleats are cheating too.
Yep.
Chris Collinsworth gave them the MVP.
Get.
So actually, you know what? If you did have a vote, if this podcast had a collective MVP vote, I think right now we'd have to get behind Collinsworth. He is the Pro Football Focus guy.
That's
so
true.
So I'm going to trust what he says.
The MVP. Packers are good. The Titans are not. I don't know what else to say.
It'd be fun if Tractor Cito got 233 yards next week. Got 2,000.
I don't think
probably
he's
going
to get there, yeah. But we have the entire week 16 board to go down. We're going to go through all of the different playoff scenarios. Read the Magic Johnson tweet one last time.
Well, which one? Because you put another one out there.
Oh,
this is probably the one that you were talking about.
This is why you don't even have to watch the game.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to win MVP this year because he and the Packers have been dominant all season from start to finish. Patrick Mahomes. Oh, there he goes, talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Do the other one.
With the Packers having home field advantage in the playoffs, they will be tough to beat because of the cold weather and the snow! !
That was the exact moment that I was worried about the Packers making a deep run.
Yeah, they're going to be tough.
As soon as Magic Johnson has figured out the key to the Packers' success, and he just lets it out there like that. Uh-huh. And I'm like, fuck.
It's amazing because I've spent like all day today going over all the playoff pictures and all the scenarios. And the more I learn about it, the less I know about it. It's like the universe or mm-hmm. vagina. And when Magic Johnson just comes out and he just spills the beans like that, it's like it was that easy all along.
Yeah. He just – I've been reporting this for 6 years. He just tweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that – what was that?
Yeah, that was – was that about one of the Trumps?
Yeah.
That
like, was one of the times – he just went that, and he tweeted it.
Yeah. That was one of the first times that Trump – Donald Trump was definitely not going to be president anymore back in like 2016.
Oh, he just went and tweeted it. All right. Let's get to the rest of the Week 16 slate. We're starting – we're going back in time all the way to Christmas Day. Vikings 33, Saints 52. Whew.
It never even felt that close. Like,
no.
When you said that the Vikings scored how many points?
33.
You see, if you had asked me offhand how many they scored on Christmas Day, I would have said like 10 points.
The quote of the game was in like the first quarter, I want to say it was. Troy Aikman just straight up said this Vikings defense isn't really good.
Yeah.
So when you have an announcer just admit that straight up, you know it's going to be a long day for them. And Alvin Kamara, 6 touchdowns. I started him, or I was going up against him in 19 of my 24 fantasy championships.
That's brutal.
Was so bad, PFD. Ruined my Christmas. But yeah, the Saints, like this is the Saints recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I know obviously the Vikings defense is that bad, so you can't be like, hey, just score 7 rushing touchdowns, right? Because Taysom Hill had one.
He got 6. Taysom Hill came in, pulled one away. And that's one of those situations where when you're watching the game, you know that Sean Payton is trying to get somebody paid with that touchdown.
Yep.
He's a big – like, I can see why players want to go play for him because he's like his own little mint down there. He's like his own little bank where if he knows that one of his guys is standing to get, like, some sort of incentive in his contract, Sean Payton will get that guy paid.
Oh,
his
yeah.
His owner's, like, up in the booth like, God damn it, Sean did it again. Cost me another, like, $500,000. But, yeah, Sean Payton, it was weird when he put – Taysom Hill in for that touchdown, but then he made it up to everybody. But I wanted like a little reward for watching that game. Like, give me a little bit of history, Sean Payton.
Right.
Let me see some guy get 7 touchdowns on Christmas Day.
There should be a Christmas Day football game every single year. I know that's impossible because Christmas, unlike Blake Bortles, you know, it does move around in the calendar.
Uh-huh.
Not the date, well, but we had, the day.
We had a game on every single day of the week this year.
Yeah, it was great. But so it was great to have, especially because there was a lot of blowouts in the NBA. But the Saints, I'm an old record. I'm beating the dead horse. I don't want to get too far into it, but I still believe that Drew Brees is what holds back this team.
He definitely looks limited. He had 100%
nice stats,
healthy,
a lot of yards.
But in the first half, he had a couple throws. He had, you know what he had? The head scratchers.
He's got the head scratchers. The Saints are a really, really good football team. It's just, and I'm not saying Drew Brees can't just like have a month where he throws back time, takes a couple shots, and all of a sudden he's back to old Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. But it feels like we're just heading on a collision course to a big game where Drew Brees needs to make like 5 to 6 huge throws, and it's just not exactly the same as it used to be.
If the Saints can play against those Vikings, then yes, they will win every single game because Mike Zimmer was just on the sidelines hating his football team.
Oh.
He usually reserves that sort of hate for his quarterbacks, really. But Troy Aikman's hate of the Vikings defense is something Troy Aikman usually reserves towards like Doug Gottlieb or Skip Bayless firing off at the hip about something. But they're a really, really stinky defense.
Really bad defense, and Dan Bailey is still employed. I don't know why. Still missing kicks. But yeah, the Saints are really, really good. The Saints are really, really good. I mean, we can go through this because we're going to go through all of our playoff scenarios, but I absolutely put the Saints in Super Bowl contender tranche. Whether Ooh. Drew Brees can get them there, I don't know.
A tranche.
But in the NFC, they are one of the teams. The NFC is kind of like weirdly loaded. Because
Who else is in your Super Bowl tranche? Because I feel like
in the NFC?
The Seahawks, obviously.
The Packers. The Seahawks. And I guess we could go to the next game right now. But I guess if the Bucs could play the Lions every day, if the Bucs could play the Lions in every round of the playoffs, they are my prohibitive Super Bowl favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that it's a major asterisk game because they you could count that as a flip the switch game for the Bucs offense.
Or
you know what, Big Cat?
The Lions didn't have a coach.
I don't know what it was, but everything finally clicked for this Bucs offense this week. They were firing on all cylinders. They
weird
got
Gronk
involved. They got Antonio Brown involved. They got Mike Evans involved. Everything. Leonard Fournette looked like he had two working legs and a soul this weekend.
Yep.
I don't know what it was, but something about that offense this week. Matt Patricia must have been sitting at home just like firing up his own little Old Takes Exposed Twitter account, just like retweeting everybody that was talking shit about his defense earlier in the year. Because say what you want about Matt Patricia, and I will, and I'll continue to do so in the future. But at least he was a coach on defense.
Well, they didn't have coaches.
Yeah, no one coached
the
team.
They didn't actually have coaches. We had two weird COVID situations, the Browns wide receiver corps and the Lions coaches. They had, who was it, Evan Rothstein, and there was someone else who was coaching that was like, what? What is going on right now?
I was shocked to learn that the Lions had coaches.
It was kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure. Like, what would happen if you had to coach an NFL team?
Right.
Well, you'd lose 47-7, and the only touchdown would be a kick return.
Yeah. Well, at least we got to see, like, a little Mizzou off at the end. We got Chase Daniels.
And Blaine Train.
And Chase Daniels just, he's not meant to be playing. He's meant to just be chilling. You pay Chase Daniels $6 million a year to be a good dude, like a fun guy to hang out with in the locker room.
He's a locker room
and,
guy.
Yeah, and not to like mess up the chemistry of the team. You don't pay Chase Daniels $6 million to go out on the field and play against the Bucs.
No, you don't. So my question to you is, Bruce Arians did the right thing by benching Tom Brady at halftime. Tom Brady had 22 for 27, 348 yards, four touchdowns in one half of football. They were just scoring whenever they wanted. We even had Robot Gronk, which was fucking sick.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually more insulting to bench your quarterback at halftime than less insulting. Like, it is the right thing to do in sportsmanship and be like, hey, we don't want him to get injured. We also don't want to run up the score too much, which, by the way, this over was an absolute travesty. If you had this over, I apologize. That was just two overs in that stadium in 2 weeks. The MAC championship game and this game where it was two extra points missed and also a field goal. When a team scores 47, the over should hit.
Mm-hmm.
That should be in law. Like, if I were president, I'd make that a law. If team scores 47 in the NFL, the over hits no matter what.
Well, why not take out some of your defensive stars, too?
Yeah.
Like, be consistent on both sides of the ball. Be like, hey, if you're still watching, at least I'm going to treat you to a few points.
Right. But don't you think it is, like, it's sneaky more insulting to be like, hey, we don't need our starting quarterback for an entire half of this game?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a viewer, I tuned in to watch Tom Brady play. I've seen Blaine Gabbert play.
The Blaine train was electric. One for his first pass was a touchdown pass.
Yeah. I think that my biggest takeaway from this game is kind of like it's gone along with the story of the Lions season, which is I feel bad for Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
He got hurt again. He's a tough guy. And I'm just spending most of my energy when it comes to the Lions thinking about where I'd like to see Matt Stafford go. Like a list of teams that Matt Stafford could not turn into a contender.
All of them can make a contender.
It's pretty much the Lions and the Falcons because no one can really work magic with the Falcons.
Maybe the Jets.
Maybe the Jets, but the Jets are 2-0 in their last.
Yeah, the Jets are the hottest team in the NFL right now. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Matt Stafford next year, I want to see him go somewhere fun, somewhere where he can, you know, he can thrive for a little bit.
But the problem with Matt Stafford is he did sign that long-term deal with Detroit. I don't know how many years he has left. And I kind of respect that. Like, I know some people be like, well, he's not a winner because he signed on to be with this terrible organization. Sorry, Lions fans. But I respect, like, dude, just get your money. Have your life. Maybe, you know, put up a Hall of Fame career in my eyes, stat-wise. Mm-hmm. But the Bucs. Let's talk about the Bucs real quick. So the Bucs, first time in the playoffs since 2007. That was the second longest playoff drought, the Browns being the longest. So it's crazy. 2007, who started that game?
2007
for the Bucs
that
against the Giants. Giants won the Super Bowl that year.
Phil Simms,
Jeff Chris Garcia. Simms, I mean.
Oh, really?
Jeff Garcia started that game for the Bucs, and it also was the last time that John Gruden went to the playoffs, which we'll talk about John Gruden in a minute.
That was the start of John Gruden just collecting quarterbacks.
Yeah,
that season that he brought in like Jeff Garcia, he brought in Jake Plummer, who I think was there for like 2 weeks and was like, "I'd rather go play handball." See ya.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the end of the one Super Bowl Gruden dynasty in Tampa Bay.
Yes, and so the other stat, which is crazy, just to even like see it written out, is that the Bucs made the playoffs for the first time since 2007. and the Patriots missed the playoffs for the first time since 2008. Tom Brady is a playoff machine.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts to think that it's been that long. Honestly, like for the Bucs, it doesn't feel like it's been that long.
Yeah.
I don't think of the Bucs when I think of like the biggest losing franchises, but you forget that the Rex Ryan years in New York were actually not bad.
Well, it kind of like proves what one Super Bowl can do for a franchise, because yeah. You're right. You don't think the Bucs losers, but the Bucs really are losers with, you know, they're losers. And then they had a 5-year stretch where they were winners, but like they were really, really bad for a really long time in the creamsicles. They've been really bad pretty much the last 15 years, but they're back in the playoffs. Happy for Bucs fans. Stephen Che, that's pretty much who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Shout out, Stephen. I know you're listening right now. Hopefully we did the ads correctly. I'm happy for you. I still don't believe in the Bucs fully because I don't think that they can just flip the switch. It still feels like a team that you're going to like – we're gonna watch a playoff game and they're going to struggle to move the ball, and you're like, how is this happening? Like, well, they have all of these guys.
The Bucs are going to get to play against probably an NFC East team in the playoffs.
So yeah, that'll but be if nice they have to play the Saints, they're in trouble. If they have to play the Packers, they're in
if
trouble.
If they have to go, if the Bucs have to go to Lambeau, and as Magic Johnson taught us in the playoffs in mm-hmm. Green Bay, it's actually going to be very cold and possibly also snow. That's going to be an issue for Tom Brady, who says that he will never move back up to the Northern United States.
Right. So credit to the Bucs. So first time since 2007, that's awesome. Any playoff drought that gets eliminated is cool. And then the Lions, yeah, I don't know.
It's tough.
It's bad.
It's tough.
It's really bad.
Have they said who they're interviewing yet? I know some teams are starting to do the thing where they tweet out who they've just completed an interview with. I like that when teams keep me posted on that.
Yeah.
Like every team in the NFL so far that has a coaching vacancy, I think, has interviewed Marvin Lewis.
Yes. Yes. Marvin Lewis is a hot name for some reason back on the mm-hmm. streets.
Very hot.
Probably because of Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis is putting his own name out there. Hugh Jackson's probably putting his name out there.
He's bringing Hugh Jackson with him. It's a package deal.
I don't understand why interim head coaches. Daryl Bevel had the one game bounce, the dead cat bounce, where an interim head coach comes in, does well for a game, they beat the Bears. If I were an interim head coach, pretty much they always win their first game because guys just try really hard. I'd just fake a heart attack after that and be like, yeah, go out on top.
Yeah.
Have them carry me off and then just be like, I'm out. I'm 1-0 as a coach. I'm out.
Yeah.
Jim Tomsula should have quit after the first game.
Jim Tomsula doesn't quit anything, though.
He's 1-0.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that what teams should do is they should just stick with a hot hand when it's an interim head coach. Just like if you won your last game, boom, you're in. Or just cycle them in and out. Like, there's nothing to stop the Lions from – it's pretty much what they're forced to do at this point.
Right.
Just, like, have a new coach every week, a celebrity coach. Have Kid Rock. Have Eminem.
I like that. Have Detroit Don. Detroit Don could get – Detroit Don is an analytics guy. I sat with him for a game. He was crunching numbers and right.
He was just like, we're fucked.
Yeah. No, he was opposite.
Very smart.
He was like, we're statistically, we're back in this thing when they were like, 5-9 or 5-8. And he's like, mm-hmm. listen, if we win this one and then we win the next one and then the next one and then a bunch of teams lose, we're back in this.
Yeah, it should be a fuck a fan contest pretty much where it's like the season ticket holders are now eligible to become head coaches.
Right.
For one game,
yes.
1 week. The caller with the strongest take on local sports talk radio should get the opportunity to put his money where his mouth is.
That's
genius. And get down on the sidelines.
That's genius. All right, so the next Saturday game, the Amazon game. Shout out everyone who was probably pissed off because they didn't have Amazon Prime. What are you doing? It is a sad realization when I realize that like my entire life is living in fear that there will be a game I gambled on and I cannot watch.
Oh, it's the residual effect of Army Oklahoma.
Yes, yes. So people were tweeting like, dude, you probably don't have Amazon Prime because I'm a very staunch cable because I need to be up to date. I have every streaming app. I have Flow Sports. I have Fubo TV or Fubo TV. I have fucking the Facebook Live when I need to watch a game. I've watched games on shit that you don't even know exists. Pluto TV. I'm naming shit. Like, I've watched games on all these things.
Which is the one that the, like, CONCACAF is always on? BN? BN Sports?
Oh, I got BN.
BN Sports
yeah,
is a big
dude,
one.
I got BN. Fuck yeah. Yeah. I was watching Mexican soccer a few months ago because mm-hmm. I had money on the game. So my life is just living in fear that there will be someday I'll wake up, have action on a game and not be able to watch it. So yes, I had Amazon Prime. It was kind of weird. It was just like, what'd you say about the host?
The host was like, the best way to describe him would be like, he's He's like a robot version of Chris Fowler, or like, you know, ESPN has the machine that they just crank out Reese Davis's one by one by one.
Yep.
He's like if you left Chris Fowler in the Reese Davis machine for like 2 days.
He's overdone.
It's like, okay, this is too much. Tall, polished, white guy, dark hair, sports casting in a giant studio.
Send
being piped
Amazon.
Into my... Yeah, being
Call Bezos up. He'll buy him for half price.
Yeah, he's the robot dog of the Reese Davis machine.
I agree with that. His name was Rhett.
Yeah, Rhett. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
there was a glitch.
No offense to Rhett, but his name's Rhett.
He seems nice. But
his name's Rhett.
Yeah, it seems like if Jake Marsh had like 7 head injuries.
Yeah.
And didn't know anything.
And a computer
except,
chip.
Yeah, and a computer chip that like one of his professors at Syracuse had installed in him. And to like how to be a sports broadcaster. That's what this was like. It was a weird
This
experience.
Is going to suck when Rhett is like, I've been at AWS since day one.
I mean, he seemed,
shout out Rhett.
You seem like a nice guy.
Yeah, so you seem like a nice guy. Two T's.
But yeah, it was spelled also correctly. Like, it felt like the right two teams to be playing in an Amazon game.
Yes,
like
they're both futuristic.
They're both kind of like high tech and weird, like hot coaches.
And they also, like, in the future in the NFL, everyone will share a stadium.
Yep.
Which is what the Cardinals and the 49ers have been doing.
It's the WeWork of stadiums.
Right. Yeah. We're just going to be playing games around the clock.
We've disrupted the National Football League.
Yeah, in a stadium in the clouds.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Amazon game, this is the future of Amazon's going to buy the NFL.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, like don't get ready for this. You think it was a one-off. It is not. Amazon is going to buy the entire NFL.
I mean, it'd be a power move if they had the entire Sunday ticket. Now, and there's so many people that don't understand streaming that watch the, like, they just got caught up on how to operate their DirecTV remote last season. They just memorized what the Red Zone channel number is. They just memorized where to find their team every Sunday. They probably don't even use the entire Sunday ticket package. They just know the channel that their team is usually on and go to that. They're going to be so confused when everything is streaming.
Yes. Oh, yes. Very, very confused. All right. So this game, though, George Kittle's back. I fucking love George Kittle. The hot mic when he said, I fucking love the Bears. This game was big for the Bears. Playoff destiny. Let's talk, though, real quick about Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
Cliff Kingsbury. Are we sure he's good?
No, we're not.
I think we've established that
I don't think he is good at all. Actually, I am sure that he's not good.
It's kind of amazing when you look back at Cliff Kingsbury's entire resume and you realize, like, oh, attractive people do really run this world. Like, if you are a good-looking guy and you can walk into, or a girl, and you can walk into a meeting and wow someone, you can fail upwards all the way. Cliff Kingsbury was 35 and 40 as a head coach at Texas Tech.
Uh-huh.
He had 2 winning seasons out of 6. He was 19 and 35 in conference. And now you're probably saying, hey, Big Cat, like, okay, Texas Tech's hard to win at. Well, Mike Leach had 10 straight winnings.
Another very good-looking guy.
Tommy Tuberville went 20-17 at Texas Tech. I personally went 9-3, 7-2 in conference, not to brag. Baylor game, ate a little bit of a weed brownie, whatever. Shit happens. Okay? So the Cliff Kingsbury, like, he's never been good. No, I don't get it.
No, it was very bizarre when they hired him, and he was never like – He was interviewed to be a coordinator, I think, a couple years ago, right?
Yes.
At the NFL.
No, he had a job as USC offensive coordinator, and then they hired him.
Right. His NFL experience comes from like doing one interview to be the offensive coordinator for an NFL team.
Right.
That's his experience in the NFL. Then he comes to the league. He hasn't really won where he's been at, and this is honestly kind of what I expect. But I feel like the main reason that I don't like the Cardinals is because they don't fit into what my identity of the Cardinals should be with Cliff Kingsbury. Like, their defense is too good.
Joseph's done a great job. Right. Vance Joseph has kept them alive.
But what I'm saying is, like, I think I would appreciate Cliff Kingsbury more if their defense kind of stunk and they were just in shootouts all the time and it reminded me of a Big 12 game.
Right.
So if they were giving up, like, 35 points a game, but their defense is, like, top 15, I think, top 12. So it doesn't really jive with that identity that I have where I'm like, okay, I'm going to tune into a Cardinals game and it's just going to be a points fest.
Right. And so Cliff Kingsbury, not very good. The Cardinals needed this game. And on the other side of the sideline, Kyle Shanahan is incredible. Kyle Shanahan is winning games with backups. CJ Beathard, who Billy said had swag, I'll give him that. I was wrong. He was right. Because I just needed the Niners to win. Again, shout out George Kittle. Jeff Wilson was like their third string running back. And I like Robert Sala. It is Robert Sala season. Everyone's going to be talking about him. But that guy put Cliff Kingsbury in a fucking box.
Dude, and I'll tell you who the real MVP of this game was Robert Saleh's holdback guy.
Yeah.
There were a couple instances where he got out on the field like 20, 30 yards and just got dragged backwards like he was on a bungee cord. Like he was trying to do some wind sprints with a parachute on his back. It was amazing.
And again, we're not geniuses, football geniuses. We just like
to watch
it.
We're just very good looking and fail upwards.
Right, exactly. But it just feels like when you have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, your offense should win games against the 49ers who have nothing to play for and a bunch of backups.
Yeah, well, DeAndre Hopkins, I like how it's got to be Cliff Kingsbury who's leaking out like DeAndre Hopkins is not putting in the effort at practice that's necessary.
Right.
Which is why we're not passing the ball. I think DeAndre Hopkins is one of maybe like three or four players in the NFL that you don't really need a super high level of effort from him in practice because whatever, it's like Davante Adams' cleats, DeAndre Hopkins' hands, there's something weird about them that just makes them so much better than everybody else that plays that position.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, so anything else on this game?
No. No, Amazon I don't think game. So. Weird Amazon game. Game. It was strange. Yeah. Honestly, it's pretty much what I expected out of this game.
It took me like 15 minutes to get the closed captions off, which drove me insane. All right.
How do you get closed captions on the internet?
I don't. Dude, I just turned it. Because I watch every movie ever with closed captions on.
So you're like reading a book while you watch a movie.
I started it.
That completely defeats the entire point of watching a movie.
All right, here's what all I'm going to say is I started it once I started watching Peaky Blinders, like 5 years ago? Because you couldn't understand a word they said. You realize, especially with like cell phone and you're watching, I have three TVs, so I'm watching two games underneath. You miss so much shit if you're just like passively listening. When you also have to do a little bit of reading, you pick up everything. So I'll stand by it. I don't care. I watch every single movie. Call me old guy. I am. Whatever. I watch every single movie now with closed captions because I feel like I pick up everything.
That is really weird.
I don't think it's that weird. I think there's more people come out of the woodwork and be like, same. And, I mean, again, I'm not, like, young. I didn't do this when I was 23. I'm about to be 36.
I think it's too many words for football. Football is a story.
Well, no, obviously
it's true
for football. I turned it off for football.
Yeah,
but it was on because of the movies.
You have to turn it
off
on
Amazon Prime. Well, it's the only time I'm watching a game on football.
You'll forget how to turn it off, and then you'll have to call over like your younger neighbor to see if they can operate your TV for you.
I tried, and then I realized there was just a CC button. But yeah, no, I had it on for movies. The only time I watch a football game on Amazon is once a year until Amazon buys the whole thing. And then, yeah, back to movies. All right, Dolphins-Raiders, Saturday night, Fitzmagic. What a fucking – that game was so boring, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick came in, and it just – everything changed. And, like, both sides. He just – something about him makes everything more fun and awesome, and it was chaotic and crazy, and I don't know what they do with Tua. But I have a quote for you from Jon Gruden. So Jon Gruden was criticized – for the end of the game situation where they don't score a touchdown, they leave Ryan Fitzpatrick like 15 seconds. I have no problem with it because it's like you need basically what happened to happen. A crazy play and a face mask. Otherwise, you're giving him, I don't know, like 45 seconds.
I don't have a problem with it, but I know who does have a problem with it in retrospect is Jon Gruden.
Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't.
I bet
quote,
you.
No, because this is – I actually agree with Jon Gruden. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't because they – they scored too early against the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes killed them. So here's the part where Jon Gruden is, like, fucked in the head. His decision-making is right there. He essentially compared Ryan Fitzpatrick to Patrick Mahomes. He said, we did that against Kansas City, honestly. We scored with 1:15 left, and Mahomes went down and beat us. I didn't want Fitzpatrick to have the ball. He's a gunslinger. He's hot. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So he's just putting Ryan Fitzpatrick and Patrick Mahomes, he's basically saying they're the same guy.
Okay, but if you score a touchdown, then you take the field goal. You take that off the table.
What do you mean?
So
it's another 45 seconds.
Yeah, but
he's saying he did. He is right. He did the opposite earlier in the year, and it burned him that way.
I agree with what he said right there, but I bet you anything Jon Gruden will never take another knee in that situation again.
But he lost doing it the other way.
So that's how Jon Gruden operates. Is like he learns his most recent lesson. So he's using the lesson that he learned from the Chiefs against the Dolphins. Next time this happens to him, he's going to be using the lesson that he learned against the Dolphins against the next person.
Probably right.
He's going to score a touchdown. He's going to be sick to himself driving laps around Allegiant Stadium at night like he just beat the Chiefs, but he's just going to be like pounding the steering wheel, listening to Radar Love and being like, God damn it, I didn't play football. I wasn't true to myself. I should have scored a touchdown instead of kicking a field goal.
I agree with you there, and I think that John Gruden, like, that decision I have no problem with. Let's talk about everything else John Gruden. Like, his offense was 0 for 10 on third down. They were 1 for 4 touchdowns in red zone. He has now had two teams, back-to-back years, start 6 and 4, lose 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Two times.
I think
back-to-back years.
I think we warned you about this, like, a month and a half ago, right before this started. Like, John Gruden, I feel like he is a coach where at the start of the year, right after training camp, first of all, you're happy that he hasn't killed you during training camp.
He's doing the knock if you're with me.
He's doing the knock on wood if you're with me. He's doing that weird dance in the locker room where he does, like, the Macarena.
Yep.
And then after about a couple months, you're like, God damn, is this guy actually – is he serious? This is what he's like all the time?
Right.
Like, all the time, all the time? And then you start to get, like, a little worn down. Plus, you've got Derek Carr, who is – like a Theon Greyjoy, the way that I feel bad for Derek Carr. I feel like every time something good happens to him, he gets his guts ripped out or his nuts chopped off the very next week, and something bad happens to him.
He's kind of in my Ryan Tannehill, your thing with Ryan Tannehill, where it's like Derek Carr could play great, and I'll still be like, but it's Derek Carr.
Yeah.
It's Derek Carr, and eventually it won't work out. But so the John Gruden, so like I said, 4 out of 5, 2 years in a row down the stretch. He's 63-80 since his Super Bowl win. I don't understand. Like, why doesn't he get – it's just because everyone likes him? It's crazy that he doesn't get any criticism for, like, this team. Everyone was talking about the Raiders being like, oh, watch out for the Raiders. Watch out for the Raiders. They got a lot of pieces. Their defense isn't great, but they got a lot of pieces on offense. Well, John Gruden's job is the offense.
The best thing that happened to John Gruden was getting replaced by Jason Witten when he left the booth, because then everybody was like, man, I really miss John Gruden. He knew what he was talking about when it came to football. Yeah. And also, every time he throws a Spider 2Y banana out there, it's just fun to say.
Yes.
And then it reminds us of Gruden.
So yes.
We like that, and we like him as a personality. Would I want him coaching my football team for $10 million a year?
Probably not.
But going back to Fitzpatrick for a second, I actually think that Ryan Fitzpatrick should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think he should be a Hall of Famer. He's
that memorable.
Not just because the bust would be legendary with the beard in it, but because, like, he's provided so many great memories and so many weird things have happened in and around Ryan Fitzpatrick's body. So he could be like, okay, if he doesn't have the stats to get you there, we put in contributors to the game every year.
Right.
He should, if he's not a player, he should be a contributor to the game and get into the NFL.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what they do with Tua. It's very odd that you've benched your starting quarterback who you drafted fifth overall twice now in like a month and a half, and Brian Flores is still like, yeah, Tua's our starter until we need to win the game, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick is coming into play. And it, like, I was seeing some Dolphins fans make excuses for Tua, and obviously he's young. I'm not going to give up on him because of just this year, but it's crazy how much better the offense looks when he is – When Fitzpatrick's in versus Tua. I think Kurt Warner was doing the game. He actually had the perfect explanation for it, that Tua is waiting for guys to get Alabama open, not NFL open.
Yeah.
Whereas Ryan Fitzpatrick, he'll throw to guys who are fully covered.
He's used to throwing to guys who are Harvard open, which is double teamed.
Right. So Tua's waiting for these guys to be streaking down the field wide open. It just doesn't happen in the NFL that way. And I don't know. I mean, Tua's like he's like a better version, a better learned version of Josh Rosen at this point, where it's like his stats, if you just look at his stats, you're like, oh my God, he's 75%.
Yeah.
Like, oh wait, but it was for 70 yards and he threw the ball 20 times?
I actually have no problem with it, with what Flores is doing with the quarterbacks. I think it's interesting, and it's definitely something that isn't repeated by any other coach. But I guess he's got a sense in the locker room where he's just going to go with a hot hand no matter what's happening.
Get to the playoffs.
And it seems like neither Fitzpatrick nor Tua really have a problem with it. So it's like, why is this any different than any other position? Probably because the quarterback is generally the leader of your offense.
Right.
And it's good to have a rhythm going. But if neither guy, like, the best thing that you can have for Ryan Fitzpatrick is a quick pull for him and put in another guy when Fitzpatrick starts to do bad Fitzpatrick stuff.
Right.
Because when he's doing Fitzmagic stuff, it's the best thing ever. It's like every drug combined into one,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, this guy can win. This is a dynasty of one
right.
that I can have as my quarterback. But when he starts throwing the really weird interceptions and fumbling the ball and it looks like the wheels are coming off, like having a guy that's able to come in there and not be awful is actually great.
Yes.
And I think Fitzpatrick would probably admit, like, yeah, sometimes I do some strange shit. That's
sometimes
what you
I get fucked up in
listen,
the head.
Listen, when you strap yourself into the Fitzpatrick roller coaster, sometimes you're going to have to pull the lever and take a break. You can't ride that roller coaster
it's true.
For a season at a time.
It's true. All right, I just looked it up. Tua was 17 for 22 on Saturday night. How many yards?
90.
94.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yep.
4.3 yards. And he had a touchdown, which was really just a dump off to Myles Gaskin, who made a nice play.
Yeah, I mean, they should honestly have Fitzy and Tua in there at the same time.
Yeah.
A double quarterback, like one right-handed, one left-handed.
And Trent Dilfer still thinks he's special.
Who?
Trent Dilfer.
Oh, Trent Dilfer thinks that Trent Dilfer is special.
No, Trent Dilfer trains Tua. So I actually, I'm okay with him having his guys back.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things he's been saying about Tua is like, what?
I mean, Tua looks okay. But he looks okay.
I'm
firmly in the Tua will be okay. Case.
No, I'm not giving up on him. I don't think he looks okay though right now. Like I don't think it 17 for 22 for 94 yards in today's NFL is crazy.
It's not. No, it's actually like pretty tough.
Ryan
to do.
Fitzpatrick was 9 for 13 for 182 yards. He threw it half the amount of times for double the yards.
I also think that Fitz plays so much better when he's uncomfortable. That, like, if teams just sat back, and again, I have no stats whatsoever to back any of this up, so, I mean, it's probably true because I'm saying it, but, like, when he's playing against a team that's, like, blitzing the shit out of him, he's taking hits, he's getting his head ripped off sideways. Like, that last pass that he threw, I actually expected Ryan Fitzpatrick to complete that pass.
Yes.
Because his head was looking backwards
yes.
when he threw it.
Yes.
It's when he's, like, when he's got too much time and he starts to get bored. And like a dog that you leave alone and it just goes nuts and eats the door frames off your apartment because you're not at home. Like that's when Fitzpatrick gets into trouble and he tries to like create a little bit of chaos for himself. But when it's tough on him, then he's really good. So
yeah.
I don't know, maybe next game against the Bills, right?
Yep.
Maybe Fitzpatrick goes out there. He's going to have like a good revenge quarter against the Bills.
Well, he's not going to play as of right now.
Or Tua's still starting.
Tua's a starter.
Okay.
That's my point. Tua's a starter. It's a very bizarre situation. We're not going to get this over in this Packers Titans game. It's going to be a travesty. Yeah, the Titans stink. We talked about that. That's time traveling
yep.
for you. All right, Falcons Chiefs. You know that the Chiefs have 10 comeback wins this season?
I did not
comeback
know that.
Win being just that they were down at any time.
They were losing at some point.
But that does feel weird, right?
It does, but I mean that's what they did in the playoffs last year. Thanks for coming out, Chiefs.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, Chiefs. It's just crazy because they're that good, but they've been down in pretty much every single game. This game was weird because they just looked bad against the Falcons. And Patrick Mahomes did not look sharp. And then yet still they can flip the switch to get the ball down late. Patrick Mahomes threw a pick that wasn't caught, which I know that sounds weird, but
uh-huh.
That's exactly what the play was. Like, it was a bad pass. It was an interception. He just couldn't catch it. And then the Chiefs win. And I want to give credit to Raheem Morris because I looked it up. Dan Quinn, this is the same team. Dan Quinn, when he was the coach of the Falcons, 5 games, 32.2 points per game they were giving up. Raheem Morris has been coaching the Falcons for now 10 games, 20.9 points. So 12 points better.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Same fucking guys.
Big change.
And, like, they held the Chiefs to under 20 points.
But Dan
That's
Quinn
crazy.
Is, like, an offensive guru. Oh, no, wait. He's like, a defensive
right.
mastermind.
Right.
I've got a take about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are getting too cute with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a football team.
Oh, well, that fourth down call was the cutest thing you've ever seen.
I think they're too cute. They're playing too cute football out there.
That fake?
And are they too cute to win in the playoffs? Like, I don't know. They used to be exactly the right amount of cute. But
yeah.
Now it's like they've gone Anne Hathaway and all I need is an Emma Stone.
Yep.
And it's just overboard. Just
I agree.
Too much cuteness.
There is a little bit of cuteness. That
Andy Reid in his thong mask and Daisy
there
Duke shorts running around.
Touchdown. The too cute moment mm-hmm. happened right when they did the 4th-and-1 fake where Patrick Mahomes was running down the field as a wide receiver in a game that didn't really matter. I mean, obviously they got the one seed, but they could have won their last one of their last two. that was a too cute moment. Mm-hmm. That was like, what are you guys doing? Why are you even risking Patrick Mahomes getting hurt here? What, fourth and one? Why not just run the football? Like, what is going on? So I agree with you. Too cute. Yep. And also, you're playing the Falcons. Why are you doing your best trick plays against the Falcons?
Well, the Falcons were getting exactly the right amount of cute. They were nailing the cuteness in the first half.
Yeah.
So the Falcons, they, I think we both had this sense in this game that this was going to be a close one. This might be like a letdown game for the Chiefs because it's the Falcons. You go in against the Falcons.
Yeah, and they like sleepwalk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You expect to win this game by infinity points if you're the Chiefs. But the Falcons, I guess they're showing they might be frisky. Might be frisky down the stretch. Ooh. Raheem Morris could get the head coaching gig.
I don't know.
You know how Arthur Blank, he works. He's like, this guy is in-house.
No, I know. And I know. He deserves an interview because he's gotten the Falcons to a point where no one thought they would be, and that's just competent football.
Arthur Blank is a big, this guy knows everybody's name in the facility. They all seem to like him.
It's true.
Let's keep him around and see what happens.
Seems like a likable guy. Yeah. Travis Kelce broke the record for most yards in a season for a tight end.
Okay.
14, Baby Gronk. 16. Yeah.
Now, what about Matt Ryan?
It was George Kittle's record from 2 years ago.
Right, and it should be his from this year as
Correct.
Well, but he got
he
injured.
He got hurt. Asterisk yeah, on big this, asterisk. Travis.
Matt Ryan is definitely the most sackable quarterback.
The most
there
sackable.
Was, there was one play today where he did like 1.5 spin moves, and it looked like a drunk man
Dude.
Trying to like barrel roll out of an automobile.
Matt Ryan's entire like – offense at this point is snap the ball, look to try to throw it to Calvin Ridley, then look to see who can sack him the least hard.
Yeah.
that's it.
It's the opposite of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's like, try to throw it to anybody and then run at the biggest guy that you see.
Just who is going to not hurt me mm-hmm. when they inevitably sack me, which happens like 6 times a game.
Now all the too cute stuff that we've said about the Chiefs, I still think that they're probably gonna like sleepwalk to the Super Bowl.
Well, I guess
except for the Bills.
That's
maybe.
Actually the only thing you could say about the Chiefs at this point is I actually and the too cute like is kind of tongue in cheek, but I actually agree with you. But the Chiefs, the only way they will lose is if they like sleepwalk for just a little bit too long. You know what I mean? Like if they get caught just a little bit, because they do kind of play this wire act where it's like, oh. Well, they'll just flip the switch and Patrick Mahomes will bail him out. And he does bail him out because he is the best quarterback by a long shot. But you could see that happening. Like, oh, shit, it's the second half. And I guess this is kind of stupid to even say it. The way they won the Super Bowl, they basically did this in every single game where they were behind.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you can get caught. And it's like, oh, fuck. Maybe that interception did get caught. Now
so
what do we do?
We were saying earlier how it was a good thing that the Chiefs lost earlier in the year to the Raiders because then they got a little wake-up call. They didn't have to worry about all the talk of 16-0 coming down the stretch.
Yep.
I think the Chiefs need to lose again. I think they need another wake-up call.
They
hit the snooze button on the season, which took them into Week 17. I think they need to lose against the Chargers next week. And I think the Chargers could beat them.
I think they probably won't start anyone, so
yeah,
they will.
Yeah, but that, I don't know, does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Is that still like a wake-up call?
Yeah, that counts. That counts.
Who's their backup quarterback?
I don't know, let's find out. Chiefs backup quarterback. I don't think that you can Google it. Like, oh, no, Chad Henne.
Okay.
Let's go. Chad Henne. All right. Yeah, no, I think they'll probably lose to the Chargers because they won't try. And they'll sit everyone. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, next up, Browns, Jets. Hoo boy. So the Browns had no wide receivers. They had a walkthrough in the parking garage attached to their hotel, and it was like 30 degrees this morning in New York City. They're in New Jersey. But 8:15 a.m., they had a walkthrough, basically Baker Mayfield doing a break the ice with all the wide receivers that he had to throw to. There was a moment in time, and we can laugh about it now because let's just set the stage here. The Browns control their own destiny. If the Browns win Week 17, the Browns are in the playoffs. Doomsday scenario is not there in that case. The Browns hold it all in their hands. There was a situation where the Browns could potentially like go 11-5 and somehow miss it and be like, what the fuck happened? No, the Browns can win and they're in. There was a moment, though, where it was the most Browns thing ever to be losing to the Jets, to have no wide receivers, to have the Colts up big on the Steelers, and to have that 11-5 doomsday scenario be a very real possibility. Thank God the Colts ended up losing for the Browns' sake, because the Browns can now still win and get in. But man, was that was like almost the most Browns thing ever. There was like a 2-hour window on Sunday afternoon where if you were a Browns fan, you were freaking the fuck out.
Like, you're just checking things off the list of everything that you've kept in like your worst case scenario binder for the last 2 weeks, and it's all happened in slow-mo, and it's all continuing to happen. You're like, we're just going to be fucked.
Yeah.
We're going to look back on that Raiders game that we played when it was like 11 degrees outside in the grapple, and we're going to be like, damn, we should have won that game. Or you're going to look back at another, like the shit game with Lamar Jackson where he had diarrhea. You're going to look back on that and be like, if we had just got this one more,
yep,
then we would be able to control our own destiny. But you're right. The good news is, like, I think you win and you're in. Well, you win and you're in.
No, it's official. Yeah, they win and they're in.
You do win and you're in. But then most scenarios have you playing the Steelers the very next week.
That's okay.
In the first round of the playoffs.
I don't think the Steelers are going to play. I don't think the Steelers are going to, like, try.
Oh, you don't think so? Against the Browns?
I think they've had so many injuries this year. Why would they risk it?
Because Big Ben is trying to get that title back that he can be the most winning quarterback at First Energy Stadium.
I don't think he's going to let him. I don't think Mike Tomlin's going to let Big Ben do that. Why would you risk any injuries in Week 17 when you've kind of limped in? Like, for the Steelers, if you're from the Steelers' perspective, we could actually just do these games in tandem. The only other note I had from the Browns-Jets game is you probably should extend Adam Gase.
Yes, absolutely. When he's on the sideline, it's very funny to watch Adam Gase on the sideline, because much like Jason Garrett never really coached on the sideline, he was always clapping, Adam Gase is always reading a book.
Yeah,
he's just like he's like an old man at a baseball game keeping score. I don't know what he's writing.
He's the dude from the professor from the FSU game.
Yeah,
sitting up in the stands reading a book in a blowout.
I was going to say
that's him.
I was going to say he's like Johnny Moxon reading Slaughterhouse Five inside of his playbook from Varsity Blues. But whatever he's doing, and by the way,
he definitely owns what's it called, Infinite Jest.
Yeah,
he definitely owns Infinite Jest, and it's sitting in a prominent place in his house. And he likes when people are like, "Oh, Infinite Jest." Like, yeah, you know, I picked it up. I haven't had time recently.
And
I'm not saying this because I also have Infinite Jest and I also have never read it. But yes, that's what dumb people do, is they buy Infinite Jest
and they display it in their home.
It's actually a genius thing. We should make a book that everyone's like, "Damn, this is a book." Like, you want to talk about a book? This is a fucking book. Like, Ulysses is
a book. I would say that Catch 22 is on that list.
That one's short, though. You can read that.
No, Catch 22 is long.
Oh, I'm thinking of, what's the fucking, Holden Caulfield, what's that?
Catching the Rye. Catching the Rye is on that.
That one's short.
It's basically every book that you said you read in high school.
It's got to be over like 500 pages, because no one's reading a book over 500 pages, let's be honest. So you buy it just to have it so people can be like, whoa. And the best part about having Infinite Jest is no one's actually ever read the book. So when they come over and they see it, they know, like, they can't be like, oh, yeah, what's your favorite character from Infinite Jest? Because they also haven't read it. It's more just a mutual admiration of, like, we both consider ourselves smart people because we both possess Infinite Jest.
He's got the unabridged works of William Shakespeare back there. He's got every Jane Austen novel.
It's the greatest fraud book of all time. It really is. That was a genius. That was a genius move to write a book that no one actually was going to read, but everyone respected as the smart guy book.
Mm-hmm. But whatever he's reading on the sideline, it's fascinating to watch him during a game, just like staring down into his own hands all game. Mm-hmm. It's worked. Listen, the Jets are hot, man. The Jets are the hottest team in football going right now. And then can you just imagine for 1 second the type of blitzes that Dr. Heat would have drawn up against a team with no wide receivers?
Yes.
I mean, these are like his two children going head-to-head against each other.
He probably sat at home, like, doing it in his mind. Yeah. Like, oh, we would have killed Big
Greg,
Dave. We would have actually killed him.
You know all his weaknesses.
Yeah, but so the Browns, like, that's a toss-out game. You got everything in front of you. That game sucked, but you also got fucked by COVID. It is crazy, like, the weird, like, the Broncos having to play with the guy off the street, the Lions having to coach with no coach or play with no coaches, rescheduling some games but not others, whatever. You got screwed, but it doesn't matter because you can win and get in. But let's talk about Colts Steelers, because Colts Steelers was these two games were basically like, you know, cousins or sisters or brothers. Like, they were paired together in all playoff implications, because Colts were kicking the shit out of the Steelers. We even said out loud, we're like, damn, the Steelers are really, really bad. Like, we've never seen a team go 11-0 to 11-5 and look this bad. Then second half happened. Their defense woke up. They decided to start bombing the down the field with Big Ben. He woke up, and the Steelers, all of a sudden, like, they still can't run the ball at all. They actually, there was a moment, I think, at the end when they needed was 1 yard at, like, the midfield, and they punted it because they're like, nope,
yeah,
we can't get this yard.
Listen,
like, no chance.
You know what? Tomlin's going to, like, watch that film and be like, if you can't get 1 yard, you don't deserve to win.
Yeah.
And he's just going to tell the guys, like, in my book, you guys lost last week.
Yeah.
That's how I can see the Steelers coming out next week and actually playing
just
hard.
Practicing.
Just running the ball the entire time. Just being like,
but it won't work.
No, it's not going to work.
No matter what.
But they're going to be like, we're going to run the ball. And
they had 4 yards in the first half.
He's going to get himself into as many fourth and one situations as possible next week, just to prove to himself, like, we can get 1 yard eventually. And they probably won't be able to do it. Like, the Steelers, I tweeted out that are they the worst 11-3 team in any sport in history? And I think they still might be, but the second half, the Steelers, they came back.
I feel like the Mariners a couple years ago.
Somebody tweeted at me that the Mariners did start 11-3.
and then ended up
with 68 wins on the season.
Yeah,
so
I think that
team is probably the worst 11-3 team in the history of sports, and the Steelers might be second, because, like, I don't see the Steelers being able to win in the playoffs. Maybe if they play the Browns at home.
I don't know. Yeah.
They are 1-0 since Juju Smith-Schuster stopped dancing.
They are 1-0. Yeah, unbelievable that we live in a time where, like, there was a press release being like, I've decided for all my teammates and my team, I will stop dancing on TikTok on logos before games.
Well, our problem wasn't with the fact that he was dancing. It was with the problem that his dance sucked.
Well, and he was doing it on logos.
It was a soft,
and getting everyone mad.
It was a soft dance. If it was like a kick-ass team dance and got his team involved,
right,
and did a mosh pit, then maybe that'd be sick. Like, get the boys amped up and ready to go playing Renegade from the stands.
Colin Cowherd has sewered careers for way less than that.
But he was bouncing around like a rabbit on the midfield logo. In that case, like, yeah, I think you should probably switch to a harder dance.
So, back to the Steelers, like, chances. They do feel very broken. But that second half, you're watching it, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is the Steelers. Their pass rush is on fire. Their defense is playing lights out. Big Ben, they're actually throwing it downfield instead of not being able to run. The combo of not being able to run and throwing only short passes really makes you a limited offense. Mm-hmm. So they were bombing it. Like, he kind of had a little pep in his step. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Steelers. I think they still could be frisky. I don't trust them.
If Big Ben stops throwing passes that will get his wide receivers spinal injuries, then yes, they could do something. But he's like, I don't know what it is about his passes this year.
Yeah, he's been throwing hospital passes.
Like little floaters.
Yeah.
He's been leading his guys into danger.
I guess with their defense, if their defense, like, fires it up, I could see a moment where we wake up and it's like Steelers Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and the Steelers are like 10-point underdogs.
Yeah.
But I could, if you have a defense that can play that well, I'll give you a shot against anyone.
And the jerseys, the uniforms.
Right. Like, and the jerseys, the uniforms,
the team colors.
And Big Ben, like, being like, oh, he's going to fucking, you know, one last ride with Big Ben.
I'm probably going to bet on the Steelers in the playoffs. They're probably going to break my heart and lose dramatically. But I don't. There is something about them that you wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they won, you know, one or two games in the playoffs. But I mean, unless the Chiefs are still sleepwalking in a month.
Did you see the Tomlin quote?
The grapes one?
Yeah, it's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes.
He's my baby Brown of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great quote from Tomlin.
Is it a fine line? I feel like it takes months to make wine after you've crushed
the
grapes.
Yeah, it is. It definitely takes a lot of time. The Colts. Well, whew. I was getting harassed online in the first half by Colts fans.
On the internet?
Demanding that I respect the Colts as a true Super Bowl contender. They were like, look at these Colts. We can do it all. Guess what? The Colts are, as of right now, out of the playoffs. If the Colts don't get some help in week 17, they will be out of the playoffs. They need the Ravens, the Dolphins, or the Browns to lose for them to get into the playoffs.
Put the banner up. Up 21-7 at halftime against the Steelers in Week 16.
I mean, you can't, like, you got to win the game with offense. They had no offense in the second half. And I love Phil Rivers, but this is when you have a quarterback that has negative mobility now. Like, if the pass rush starts going, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it used to always be, after the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it was like, well, that's the key. You just got to get, you got to rush with four and you got to get home and then you can beat everyone. Well, yeah, that's true. But now in today's NFL, like, there are a lot of quarterbacks that can beat you even if you do get home because they have legs and they can move.
Oh, Philip Rivers definitely has like the shortest clock in the pocket.
His pocket
clock is like 2 seconds. And if he doesn't get rid of it, he panics. And he'll either take a sack or he'll just like immediately throw it out of bounds.
Calling him statuesque is actually like an insult to statues. Statues have more mobility than Philip Rivers at this point. Again, we love Phil Rivers. We've always been a Phil Rivers podcast. I want him to get back in the playoffs. And I'm conflicted because I think if we had to rank it, I think we both agree, like, Browns getting the playoffs number one.
Yes.
We want the Browns to get in the playoffs. Sorry, everyone else. But if I had to go number two, I think maybe Phil Rivers getting into the playoffs. I kind of want Phil Rivers in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd lean Titans.
Okay.
Just get the boy in there.
I think are they in?
Are they 100% in?
I think they're in. I think it's between the Dolphins, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Colts. I want the Browns to go in number one. I think I want the Colts to go number two because I do want the Colts to – I want Phil Rivers to be in the playoffs. I want to see Phil Rivers in a playoff situation. I love Jonathan Taylor. Like, I don't have any ill will against the Colts. What I've said about them all year, I think, has been very fair. When they're playing with a lead, when they're like everything's humming and they can protect Phil Rivers, they look like a really good team. But it can kind of be like a house of cards pretty quickly.
Titans are 94% in. So, yeah, they're pretty much in.
I think they're pretty much in. So, yeah, Phil Rivers, that, yeah, I don't know what, like, that was basically doomsday for the Colts, that you have that type of lead, you're rocking and rolling. You win and you're basically, now you control your own destiny to what the fuck just happened. We lost that game. How did that happen? It did happen that quickly, too.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like we just, like, looked up and, boom, the Steelers were winning the game.
You think there was a halftime speech that Mike Tomlin gave, or you think it was, like, a players-only meeting at halftime?
I think Big Ben just walked in and was like, let's just go.
I think he might have threatened to retire. Yeah. Big Ben might have been like, hey, listen, if we don't make the playoffs this year, I could honestly see Big Ben walking away from the NFL if they lost their last five games. If the Steelers went 11-0 and then ended up 11-5, limped into the playoffs, lost, I could see Big Ben retiring. Like, for, he would retire for what he would say would be for good.
Yeah.
And then he'd probably come back in like early August and be like, I'm ready to strap it on one more time.
Do you know what it was? It's like a parent taking away a cell phone from their kid, from their teenager, and being like, oh, I'm not going to give it back. He was doing that with the walking boot at halftime. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm going to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it on. And everyone's like, no, Ben, don't, please. We really want to win this game. He's like, if you guys don't start catching my fucking floaters, I'm putting this boot on, and I'm going home.
I mean, that would work on me.
Yes.
I'd be like, Ben, everyone's, we need, I would like to see Philip Rivers and Big Ben both for at least one more NFL season.
You give me that in the playoffs somehow, some way. All right. Bears, Jaguars. Bears kicked the shit out of the Jaguars. It felt good. Matt Nagy is officially coming back. I'm conflicted, but I do not care. The Bears scored 30 points, 30-plus points in four straight games, first time since 1965, to just, like, make myself feel like shit. The Packers have done that twice this year.
Yeah.
Four-game stretches with 30-plus points.
The Bears' offense is good. Like, it's time to...
Okay, we played some bad defenses. I'm realistic.
It's
time
to face the music, and that's the fact that not only is Matt Nagy coming back, but Mitch Trubisky is going to be there next year.
I don't know about that. I still don't know about that.
I think
Matt Nagy hates Mitch Trubisky, and I think that that's more self-loathing, where he just can't, like, vocalize that he hates himself. Matt Nagy, I'm talking about.
No, you said it yourself that Matt Nagy is, like, the most emotional coach in the NFL.
He's too emotional.
I bet you Matt Nagy really feels bad for what he's done to Mitch, and he looks at Mitch's failure as being, like, a direct reflection of him as a coach. And the only way that he can feel good about himself and finally for him to be you again is if you were to take Mitch and turn him into, like, an above average quarterback, which he's been the last couple weeks.
Listen, I'm taking a realistic, pragmatic, approach to this week 17 and to everything that the Bears have in front of them. I don't think Matt Nagy's a great coach. I truly don't. I mean, just the fact, I think I said this last week, but just the fact that Nick Foles started as many games as he did behind this offensive line should tell you that Matt Nagy doesn't know how to assess the quarterback situation. Mitch Trubisky is a far better quarterback in these circumstances than Nick Foles. That's just a fact. I'm happy for Mitch Trubisky. We still had an all-time Mitch Trubisky interception where I even said it out loud because it was just the two of us all day watching games. And he, when he turned and scrambled, this was like 5 seconds before he threw the interception. I was like, don't throw this, Mitch. Another 5 seconds went by. More guys got more covered. He found a spot on the field where there were the most amount of players and then threw it there.
I've never seen that many players in one quarter of the end zone in my entire life.
He was playing 500.
There were probably like seven or eight players within maybe like 5 square yards
yes.
of each other, and it was 500. He was throwing up like a jackpot.
Okay.
And it was a bad – I don't even know what the concept of that play was because it looked like – the entire design was to flow to that corner of the end zone and then have Mitch do exactly what Mitch did.
It was baffling. So I'm not thrilled that Matt Nagy's coming back. It is what it is. There's nothing that you can do about it. I know the Bears are a flawed football team. They're a flawed organization. They're not a great organization. But if you told me week one that the Bears would be playing in a meaningful football game week 17 to get into the playoffs and be in the playoffs, I'd take it. And that's what being a fan is. I don't care about all the noise around it. I don't care about the flaws and the dysfunction and the fact that I think that they're broken going forward and they're going to have a hard time like sustaining any type of success because they don't have a quarterback. They don't have a coach I trust. All that garbage. Throw it out. They can get in the playoffs. They can get in the playoffs if they win in week 17 or maybe if they lose, if the Cardinals lose too. But getting in the playoffs, like, I know I've seen this, like, oh, well, why would you want to get in the playoffs and get the shit kicked out of you so that you get a better, a worse draft pick? What are you talking about? Being in the playoffs is all, like, that's what you root for a fan. You start the season being like, let's get into the playoffs. Get a fucking seat at the table.
Right.
A chip in a chair.
Right. Unless you're, like, the Chiefs or the Saints or the Packers, and it's like, well, what purpose is there for getting into playoffs? Because it kicks ass and
right.
it makes you feel like a winner.
And
makes you feel
who knows?
Makes you feel personally better about yourself.
Crazy shit can happen.
You know what sucks worse than anything is having a team that you invest an entire year or more into and then having them not get into the playoffs. And then you're like, well, that was a wasted year. If you do get into the playoffs, you feel great. You feel
right.
great for at least a week. And then depending on how bad you get your ass kicked in the first round, then you might start to be like, once you sober up. So right now, like if we're comparing this to a night out on the town, you're on beer number like,
don't get coward on me,
8 or 9. I'm not talking soup. I'm talking brewskis. And you're on beer 8 or 9 and you're having the time of your life. You're dancing. Like Shout just came on. You took your shoes off.
Yep.
You're getting soulful with it out there. And then once you lose in the playoffs, that's when you take, like, you have the Long Island iced tea towards the end of the night, and then you go throw up, and you're like, I got to call a cab home.
And
the next day, you're like,
you fall asleep in the cab.
Yeah, you fall asleep on the way home. The Uber driver, he goes the long way.
You lose your phone.
And then, like, you found out that you got broken up with overnight. You wake up
Sucks.
The next day, and you're like, shit, you know what? Probably shouldn't have gone for that extra round.
But guess what?
It was a fun night.
It was a kick-ass night.
Like,
I agree.
Yeah, you might even roll over, and you're like, oh, I don't know who that is. And then maybe you're surprised.
Cody Parkey.
I did
and
a
your
great
dreams
job.
Are smashed again.
Yeah. That's why you root for a team, is to make the playoffs.
Right. You root for the team to make the playoffs, and there's two camps, and people will say that I'm being a hypocrite, but I'm not. I'll explain it. So I call out a lot of teams for, I don't trust this team. I don't think they're Super Bowl contender. I don't trust the Bucs. The Bucs are better than the Bears, even though the Bears beat them head-to-head, might I add. The Bears are not a Super Bowl contender. But once you accept that, I'm officially in, well, crazy shit could happen.
Yeah.
I'm in crazy shit could happen mode. I'm in, who the fuck knows, crazy shit could happen. The ball bounces your way for 4 straight games. Who the fuck knows, crazy shit could happen. Let's just have fun. Enjoy the ride. Is there a more likely than not chance that the Bears get absolutely face fucked in the playoffs? Of course there is. I would almost put my life on it. But I don't care because I'm going to be rooting for crazy shit to happen. And that's the fun of it. Now, week 17, I'm very, very nervous because I didn't realize until that fucking dork came on NBC and told me that the Packers actually do, in fact, have to play for the 1 seed. that like ruined my entire mood, because now Aaron Rodgers is going to play, and Aaron Rodgers, he personally loves to kill the Bears. He loves to do it. I know it. I can sense it. Everything he says, everything he does. I'm very nervous about week 17.
Yeah, I would be too. But big
cat, it's not prime time.
Listen, you're rooting for crazy stuff to happen. Crazier stuff has happened before. Like, it would not shock me. It would surprise me. It would probably make me a little concerned for your well-being.
Just thank God it is not a primetime game.
Yeah.
That's all I was rooting for, is for it not to be primetime, because then it wouldn't even been a choice. And
it gets lost.
I know this is kind of loser talk, but I've spent you all could, day going through all of the situations. If the Rams beat the Cardinals, it doesn't matter. The Bears would be in the playoffs. So, mm-hmm. And I think those games will happen concurrently. So we don't know.
I think the Rams need to sign Blake Bortles, get him back up, because right now they're going to go with a guy named Wolford.
Wait, is Goff officially out?
Goff is probably out because he dislocated his thumb, and it might be broken. But, Big Cat, they can still sign Blake Bortles right now. He's on the practice squad.
The Rams need to win to make the playoffs.
How amazing would that be if 1 week you've got George Kittle
coming
back.
Dude, how about George Kittle gets signed to be the quarterback for the Rams?
George Kittle comes back. He's like, I love the Bears. I did this for Big Cat. And then Blake Bortles goes to the Rams. He knows that playbook front and back. That's all that guy did when he was in Los Angeles, was he studied football. He lived it. He breathed it. And he comes back to the Rams, beats the Cardinals to get you into the playoffs. And then in his post game, he's like, I love the Bears.
I like what you're saying.
It can happen.
I like what you're saying.
Crazier stuff has happened.
Why not? Why not?
But yeah, good for you for not getting the primetime slot. That would be a nightmare for whatever team has to do.
Yeah, we'll get to that. All right, Giants-Ravens. The Giants are somehow still alive, somehow, some way, still alive. And we, like, this game was on. We had all six games on, but I feel like I didn't watch any of this game because the Ravens were just kicking the shit out of the Giants from literally the beginning. The Ravens, do you know the Ravens have rushed for 100-plus yards in 38 straight games? That's insane.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's insane. They're the opposite Steelers. It's drag racing.
Right, it makes now. Sense. I don't know.
Midnight.
It's better that than the ambulance. We'll get the ambulance sirens in a second after these guys. But the Giants were. It's really a game that they like expected to lose anyways.
Yeah, no,
and
they're
so
still alive.
Really, no harm, no foul for the Giants. The Giants are very much alive in the NFC beast right now. But I actually think that this is. It's good that the Ravens aren't taking up too much of the air right now for the Ravens. Because having zero expectations going into the playoffs is probably a good place for them to be.
We've seen
how it goes the other way.
I think the Ravens officially have become the team no one wants to play.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well,
I think they're the team that no one wants to
play.
They're
the team no one's talking about.
We cast them off, and now I think they are officially the team no one wants to play in the playoffs. I really do, which is a scary team.
It looks like they might be playing – Probably the Titans.
This is going to make no sense. And Ravens fans, we've had our back and forth, but I believe in the Ravens far more this year than last year.
I think that
last year, one seed, all the hype in the world, MVP. How can you beat this team? Oh, they lost to the Titans by a billion at home. This year, no one wants to play them. They're hot at the right time.
I think the Ravens could beat the Chiefs. I think it's the Ravens.
Who knows?
The Ravens and the Bills.
Who knows?
Are the two teams that I would have.
This is going to be a fun playoff.
That can actually beat the Chiefs. Yeah, it's going to be fun for sure. Especially, like, depends if the Chiefs get into Chiefs mode from last year and start, like, oh, they get woken up every game. That's what happens with the Chiefs. And they just go down, like, by 10 points and then end up winning 50-10. If that doesn't happen again, if they are, like, a more down-to-earth team, then, yeah, the Ravens and the Bills are the two teams that can beat them. But I would also be a little bit afraid if I were the Ravens about playing the Titans. I just feel like there are scars there.
Absolutely. They're the team no one wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're the team no one wants to play. All right, Bengals, Texans, who cares?
Who cares?
Brandon Allen, good game. The Texans have done a nice thing for the NFL, where if you play them, you look awesome, and you might be able to get some money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brandon Allen looked awesome.
Yeah.
Texans defense is that bad.
J.J. Watt is making sports writers bust a load with his post-game speech that he gave.
What did he say?
He was talking about how, like, if you're a pro in this league, how can you show up to work and not lift hard and not study hard and not practice hard when you've got guys coming up to you on the street and saying, hey, we're still here for you, we still love you, still going to root for you on Sunday. He wasn't wrong about anything that he said, but it made every sports writer just like bust a severe sticky, the stickiest of the nuts into their own into their own trousers. But the only takeaway that I had besides J.J. Watt's post game was that the Bengals might be saving Zach Taylor's job.
Yeah. Oh no, I think it's officially done.
It's
I
saved.
Think the Bengals might be getting themselves into
watch out.
No, yeah. Offseason dark horse. Like, look how they finished the season. Oh, they've added a top five pick. Joe Burrow's going to be back. Like, they might be – people might be talking about the Bengals in August.
I think if Joe Burrow's injury had happened, like, a month before – He's walking without a limp right now. He's looking good. But I feel like he's probably – he might not start at the beginning of the season, in which case they wouldn't be the surprise team. They would be the team, like, they might get hot.
And watch for that team. Every year there's a team that finishes strong.
It's the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets.
Watch out for the Jets next year. Zach Taylor's job, yeah, I think it is safe. The fact that he won these last couple games is huge, but just like the Bengals ownership, they don't like coaching searches.
Yes.
It's expensive.
Yes.
You have to fly guys in and out of town, set them up in hotels. They just got like a practice field 2 years ago.
Right.
So they don't want to go through that
whole thing
again. They're
not. They are what we call cheap.
Yes.
A cheap organization. Yeah. All right. Before we get to the next one.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, next up, Broncos Chargers. Also, who cares?
Who cares about this game?
Jerry Jeudy, I'm going to say something nice about Drew Lock. Jerry Jeudy fucked over Drew Lock.
Jerry Jeudy is also an impossible name to say without sounding like you're drunk.
Jerry Jeudy. He 15 targets, 6 catches. He dropped like a couple easy ones. Can't do that when Drew Lock is having hard enough time. Now I'm saying something mean about Drew Lock.
Yeah.
Having hard enough time completing passes. You can't be dropping them. And Vic Fangio's back, so I liked hearing that. Because I do think he's a good he's not a great head coach, but I think he is.
We've established that.
Yeah, no. He's a great defensive coach.
Defensive coach. Kind of stinks at offense.
But that's okay.
Kind of stinks at some of the other stuff.
But I like teams giving their guys at least 3 years. I think 2 years is always a little, like, quick.
Yeah.
Three, you kind of know what you got.
There's some times where it's the second year and, like, you know, you can tell for sure sometimes after that second
year.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that was Mark Trestman.
Yeah, Mark Trestman.
Definitely.
You knew. You didn't want him back.
You totally
to,
knew.
Like, give him more time to implement his system.
But they haven't. Unless you are at the helm of an absolute clown show, like Mark Trestman was, like Vic Fangio, they've had some injuries. They haven't been a clown show. They've been competitive in games. They haven't had any internal fighting. So, yeah, why not? Keep them for another year.
Yeah, sure. Bring him back. The Chargers, by the way, have put together a couple wins. The Chargers have looked like sneakily competent.
Which they almost lost this game. This was a game where you looked up. I even said that out loud. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Because the Chargers were in cruise control, and then all of a sudden you look up, and they need a drive to win the game. Also, McManus had the new double doink.
Yeah.
He doinked.
Back to back.
He doinked. There was a 5-yard penalty, re-kick. Doinked again.
Mm-hmm. That's very rare.
That's
almost impossible to do.
I said this
off the same post, right?
Yeah, I tweeted this, and you got tagged in a lot of them. That I said I fucking hate all kickers on Saturday. I think there's something about watching nonstop football for like 5 days straight where it just feels like every kick is missed.
No, kickers are the worst.
We're
awful people.
Yeah,
we're terrible human beings. We think that we've got a very important job, and we get paid a lot of money to do it. If you were to make a football team, they would pay you a lot of money. And, we suck. All of us suck. Every kicker except for Justin Tucker sucks.
Pretty much.
And sometimes he sucks, too.
Even Young Hoku.
Yeah.
He was awesome. And then he sucked today.
What was his?
Young Hoku?
Bubba? Young Way.
I thought it was Young Ho.
It's Young Ho. Whoa.
I
was right.
I don't know. Am I pronouncing it? I know how it's spelled. I get that.
Is it Young Way?
I think it's Young Way Koo.
Oh, well, I'm a phonetic speaker.
You are. You're a big reader.
Yeah.
On closed captioning, it says Young Ho.
Is it Young? It's
Young Wei, I think.
Well, this is why Jake can't take any days off.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. That's how you say it?
But yeah, the bottom line is every kicker sucks. We all suck. Occasionally, we'll kind of wake up and have a good moment, but it's just like pauses in our sucking that take you out of that focus. So I agree with you. Kickers suck.
Young Wei. Young. Oh, I guess I've been saying it wrong. My bad. My apologies. Let's see if Jake Marsh is awake.
FaceTime.
Wow, if he doesn't get this right away, because, I mean, I'm an idiot. And I don't pretend. I can't fucking say Alvin Kamara's name.
Is it not Kamara?
It's Kamara. And I always get in my own head. I'm like, don't say. Hey, how do you say the kicker from Atlanta's name?
Young Wei.
Okay. Yeah, I say Young Ho. So agree to disagree.
Yeah. It's definitely Young Wei.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I say Young Ho. So agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. How do you say the running back for the Chiefs?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Okay. Nice. All right. Thanks, Jake. Wow, why did you – you pronunciation shamed me?
No, just – it sounded at first like you said Yohua-ku. It sounded like you were trying to pronounce Ndamukong Suh's name in Pig Latin.
That one I can't do either.
And, yeah, but you were right. You're right about the kickers. Listen, I'm not going to be the guy who's out here trying to pretend like kickers are cool just because I have kicked something in my life.
They suck.
We suck.
I hate them.
On behalf of all kickers. And you know what? We're not going to apologize for sucking.
That's fine.
Just what we
do. I don't
do.
Need an apology. I just want to say it and just – I just want to say it. I don't need an apology. Actually, I'd actually prefer not to get an apology.
Yeah, because guess what?
Because then I'd have to be nice.
If kickers apologize, then we wouldn't suck.
Yeah, well, and I'd also have to be like, oh, you apologize. I feel bad. All right, next up, Panthers, Washington football team. Whoops.
Yeah, you know what? We control our own destiny.
That's true.
Okay, I got a statistic for you.
Yeah?
Five. You know what five is? Five wins away from a Super Bowl.
There you go.
Five wins from a Super Bowl. We win five games. That's all we got to do.
Same with Bears.
Bears have won. I know you lost six games in a row. You haven't won five games in a row this season.
No.
To start, what was that?
5-1.
5-1.
Correct.
So it could happen. We just have five wins.
Can't.
Five wins to go, and we're there. Today was awful. Today was like Dwayne Haskins.
He's so bad.
He might be the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Well, he's bad and hateable.
I'm talking about starters. I'm talking about backups.
Yeah.
He's bad. He's hateable.
Hold on. He probably should get his captain C back because him walking out there to support Heineke, which was bizarre.
Great
move. Like, is he coming back in the game?
Great move. He ran. You know what I think he did? I think he was trying to do the thing where he's like, you know what? If you're the real starter, you can run out into the field and take your spot back.
Yeah.
And if they believe in you, then Taylor Heineke will agree to go to the bench calmly and let you throw for that like 4th and 18. I think he was trying to sub himself back in. And Heineke, a guy that we just pulled off the practice squad last week, was like, no, go sit back down. And he's like, yes, I will. I will go sit back down. He stinks. Dwayne Haskins, he is very
so
bad. I would rather have Heineke. I would rather have
anyone.
Josh Johnson.
Anyone.
Mark Sanchez.
Anyone.
All of these Washington football
team
Walker. Legends. Yeah, hell yes. Give me PJ Walker.
Dude.
I would rather have Alex Smith on one leg, not
yes.
allowed to use his second leg.
Like Dak Prescott
in a
on
rascal
one leg.
Scooter,
yeah,
motoring around there.
Yeah, no, you.
Dwayne Haskins, he looked so bad in the first half.
As someone, you know, my team is kind of an offensive juggernaut as of late. But as someone who's watched some very bad offensive football, it's not your fault. It's the worst. It is the worst thing to watch a defense be so goddamn good. And the offense just not help whatsoever. Chase Young is so good that I'm shocked when he doesn't get a strip sack.
Yeah,
what happened? Why didn't he get a strip sack on this play?
It felt like a disappointment in the first quarter when he didn't get much pressure, and then he starts like making a name for himself in the second quarter. But yeah, it's like, what happened? How did they make Chase Young disappear? The defense is fucking dominant. I wish that there were a way for Chase Young to play quarterback also, and to have all those guys on the line be like offensive linemen at times. Maybe, you know what? Put Logan Thomas in at quarterback.
Yeah.
He got drafted by the Cardinals to be a quarterback.
He would
not have been worse than Dwayne Haskins was. And the football team's not built to come from behind. We're not.
No.
We don't have an offense.
And you...
We're more meant to observe from behind, much like the pictures of Dwayne Haskins that surfaced.
You go backwards whenever you need to go forwards.
Yeah.
I've noticed that because I've watched too much Washington football team.
We can throw for like 2-yard gains.
No, but every time you need like that play that Dwayne Haskins came out to kind of pump up Taylor Heinicke, I think it was fourth and goal from like the 20.
Yeah.
You guys always go backwards in crucial spots.
We do. But Heinicke looked good coming off the bench. So I feel like it's got to be Heinicke. Granted, it was against probably a very soft prevent defense at the time. But
right.
He looked okay. He looked way better than Haskins.
You need to, the Washington football team needs to like treat week 17, which is Sunday Night Football, which is scary. So the NFC East is crazy because the Giants and the Cowboys play. Winner of that game can go in the playoffs if the Washington football team loses.
Yeah.
So one of those teams can go to the playoffs at 6-10 if the Washington football team loses. I think the Washington football team should treat week 17 like a bullpen game. They should just be throwing the quarterbacks out there for drives at a time and
empty
be like
the tank.
Whatever happens. Yeah, like if he gets hot, he stays.
Yes.
If they punt, next guy. And just be like the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
It worked out well for them.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
perfect
listen,
for them.
Listen, I am not opposed to any of these things. I think we have any number of options who are not named
Wildcat
Dwayne Haskins.
The whole time.
Run Chase Young out of the Wildcat. Probably be better. He's got good ball security. He'll be fine. I think also if I'm the Eagles, I'd probably bench Jalen Hurts in week 17. Throw Carson Wentz out there.
Oh, you don't want that. No, yeah. No.
Why? You got to see what you have in the future for Carson Wentz. He might be the guy.
No.
You think Carson Wentz comes in and plays the game of his life?
The next game Carson Wentz plays will be his best game ever.
I don't think so.
Whether it's week 17 or week 1 next week, he has so much pent up. Like, everyone doubts me. Everyone hates me. I'm going to ball. You do not want Carson Wentz playing that
game. I think that Carson Wentz comes in and plays the most Carson Wentz game of all time.
No. If he plays in this game,
I think he sacks himself into
PFT.
The pylon.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
If he plays in this game, he will be lights out.
All right, well, maybe
if he starts
now you're
game,
starting to make me doubt my own coping mechanisms.
I don't. You do not. Because he has so – he is – think about it this way. Like, the Eagles have nothing to play for. Carson Wentz has everything to play for. You don't want that. Like, that's actually – is that a possibility? Is Jalen – he's hurt, right?
Is he?
I think he might be a little banged up. Like, you do not want the guy who got benched who now is playing for every – he's playing for his future. You don't want that, PFT. No.
All right, well, Hurts scares me more than Carson Wentz. I think Hurts is obviously like a much better quarterback right now than Carson Wentz. I don't think that here's the thing, Big Cat. I don't think that Carson Wentz's attitude right now and his will is the problem, because Carson Wentz has been trying very hard for the last year. It's just that the more he tries, the worse he gets.
Yeah, but
Carson Wentz playing when he's cool as a cucumber.
You want Jalen Hurts in this game. You want Jalen Hurts this game. Because Jalen Hurts is like...
No, I've talked myself back into it.
No, dude. Wentz has everything in his... He's going to be thinking about his fucking unborn kids being like, I'm playing for you.
Yeah, but Chase Young...
I don't know if he's a dad.
Chase Young's going to look at him and be like, remember when we pushed this guy's shit in week one? And they're going to do it again.
Carson Wentz will play his balls off.
Carson Wentz plays his worst when he's playing his balls off.
No.
When he tries to do too much and he's like throwing submarine interceptions.
No, because Doug Peterson's got nothing to lose too, so he's going to be like, fuck it, let's just open up the playbook for you, Carson.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts, let's go to the Eagles-Cowboys game. Jalen Hurts is a work in progress. That was... The Eagles looked awesome, and then they sucked. And Andy Dalton might be back.
Yeah.
Is Andy Dalton back?
He looks good. I think you're bearing the lead, really, on this story, which is that Mike McCarthy smashed another watermelon.
I didn't want to bring it up because I'm now 0-2 in my life with Mike McCarthy watermelon games.
I have several questions about the watermelons.
This fucking guy keeps smashing watermelons and beating me. I've lost so much fucking money to these stupid watermelons.
If Mike McCarthy smashes another watermelon before next week, guess what? The football team's definitely losing, and the Cowboys are definitely winning, and they're getting in. That's how the watermelon math works.
Because I
suspect what happened was when Mike McCarthy smashed that watermelon before the Vikings game, I think it came out later in the news that he did that. He got a bunch of people being like, hey, Mike McCarthy, you're not a fat slob. But like, you're kind of a genius. And he was like, you know what? I am a genius. Then he goes to the store, and he stocks up on watermelons. Because watermelons are out of season right now. You can't go to the store and get a fresh
watermelon.
Doesn't
matter. Smashing watermelons are different.
He probably...
They don't need them for taste.
I don't think you can get one at the store.
No, but I
think he went to the store and stocked up on watermelons.
Dude, he could paint a pumpkin.
And has like an entire like corner of his garage, maybe entire room in his house that his wife is mad at him for, that's just ceiling to floor stacked with watermelons, because he's like, if I have to give a spark to my team, this is the one thing that I know how to do. Watermelons work.
I think Joe Judge, if Joe Judge is smart, he spends all week not preparing for the Cowboys, but buying every single watermelon in the New York area. I will help. I will help because I hate these watermelon games. I've lost so much money to the fucking watermelons. And the fact that they told us at halftime, they come out of the fucking halftime, they're like, yeah, breaking news, Mike McCarthy smashed another watermelon. God fucking damn it, dude. I can't win when the coach smashes a watermelon on the night before the game. I cannot. There's a 0% chance of beating a watermelon team. Mm-hmm. Like, they beat the Vikings, they beat the fucking Eagles, and the Cowboys suck. And two of their five wins this year, six wins, a third of their wins are watermelon wins.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
I'm telling you, he's going to do the watermelon again. He's going to fly with a watermelon. He's going to put it under his shirt.
I want TSA.
And he's going to look like he's pregnant.
God damn it.
Going through security, and they're going to be like, sir, what is that? He's like, I'm with child.
And you know what?
Please don't judge me. And he's going to bring it up to New York. He's going to smash another watermelon, and the Cowboys are going to win.
The worst part is I can see it. I can visualize the room. Mike McCarthy talking to the boys before the big game on a Saturday night. And I can feel the energy, and I can see Mike McCarthy like fumbling around underneath the table in some like Marriott dining hall, and then just boom, watermelon on the table, and the place erupts.
Goes nuts.
And then he smashes it, and the place erupts again, and it's like the most electric moment ever. Mm-hmm. Fucking Mike McCarthy!
You think it's seedless?
Goddamn watermelon! I don't think it matters.
I think it's seedless. I think it's. Absolutely, because I don't think Mike McCarthy could smash a seeded watermelon.
It's like,
and he's right.
Who are the best coaches of all time? Lombardi, Belichick, Gallagher.
I'm telling you, this is going to end poorly if he smashes another one. So yes, if you know anyone that sells watermelons or harvests them, do not. We should put up pictures of Mike McCarthy at every watermelon stand in the tri-state area. And be like, do not sell to this man.
I hate this guy. Can't 0-2 in watermelon games.
Can't beat it.
I bet. Way too much on watermelon games.
It was nice.
Unbeknownst to myself.
It was nice to see DeSean Jackson back again.
He had everyone yelling, like, don't drop the ball, dude.
He caught one pass for like 85 yards, got behind the defense. I looked at it. I thought it was a replay of like DeSean Jackson from 2009. I was like, oh, holy shit. They're showing this. Is
no,
a nice
20 years
play.
From now, DeSean Jackson will come in, catch an 85-yard pass, and then immediately hurt his abdomen or something and be like, well, he's out for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good gig. And to be honest with you, I kind of understand where he's coming from, not wanting to score and to like stretch that last yard out for as long as you can, because everything that happens after you score is anticlimactic.
Right.
Like it's not, you no longer have that rush.
It's good.
So
it's
like,
good point.
Yeah, he's just addicted to edging. He just loves edging so much. And then he'll do it for a good like 5 seconds. Then he gets in and it's like, okay, I guess I have to go back to the bench now and probably not catch another touchdown for the next 5 years.
Yep.
But that last yard has got to be electric.
It was awesome. Eagles secondary is so bad. Actually, so going back to the Washington football team, because these games are also paired, I feel pretty good for your chances just because the Eagles secondary is that bad. Like that, they showed that one stat of that one guy. It was brutal.
It would be nice if
it was like 150 yards against them.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we had a quarterback that could throw a ball into the secondary.
Man. So how are you, what are you saying, your confidence level?
It's like a 2. We'll
be on a live stream on Sunday night. I'm going to bet on the Washington football team in solidarity.
Unless
Carson Wentz plays, then you're getting face fucked.
I'll be honest. I have no idea what's going on with Alex Smith. We do need somebody to break down exactly what's happening with his leg. I don't know what's happened. Like, it's his bad leg.
Yeah, no, they could be like, he has
cramps.
None. Like, okay, yeah.
Someone was explaining today that it was, like, the muscle that they grafted onto the front of his leg that's now cramping up. It's like, well, none of that sounds good.
Nope.
I need like, a TV chef to break it down because it sounds like they're talking about, like, a cow's meat.
Right.
And which part is the I need Guy Fieri being like, the calf has just fallen off the bone, kemosabi. It's out of bounds flavor. Because, like, there's no injury specialist that can tell me. Except for probably his own doctor, what's happening. But if it's not Alex Smith, if it's like Taylor Heineke, my confidence level is at a 2.
Okay.
It's out of 3.
And Dwayne Haskins is
Dwayne Haskins is 1. -5.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for the yards that he goes backwards.
Yes. And then Logan Thomas, probably a 1.5.
Wildcat.
Wildcat, back up to a 2. And then you've got Montez. We've got a Steven Montez, a rookie, mm-hmm. and he'd probably be at about a 1.52. So I'm not feeling very confident at all. And if there's a watermelon involved, just fuck me. Just fuck me. Just shove the watermelon up my ass. Save me some time. Save you a whole mess that you're going to have to clean up in that hotel, Mike McCarthy. Just stick it right up my ass instead and call it that.
I want to go to the watermelon game. I want to go see it. I want to see what is the bane of my existence. I forgot. I liked Steve Montez at Colorado. I liked him.
Yeah. I mean,
he'd
be the first Mexican American starting quarterback in the NFL, I think.
I don't think that's true.
I think it is.
Is it?
Bringing, now, guess what? Washington football team, least racist franchise in the NFL.
There it is.
Boom.
What about Jeff Garcia?
Fuck.
Mark Sanchez. Fuck. We always forget Mark Sanchez. And Tony Romo.
Wait, is he Mexican?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. You thought he was Italian?
Yeah. I thought it was like a Mike Tirico situation.
Yeah. No, he's, Jim Plunkett. It's been a lot. But you know what? Fuck it. That was wrong of me. It's the first ever.
First ever.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got it. All right. Last up, Rams, Seahawks. Jared Goff had to pop his own thumb back in, so why doesn't everyone shut the fuck up about him not being good?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That's really all I got.
And this is, Blake Bortles can save your life. That's huge, too.
And I'm mad because sometimes you get a take right, but you time it wrong. I timed my Seahawks defense is going to turn a corner take wrong. I did it like somewhere in the middle of the season. They had a couple more games where they gave up a shitload of points. I think the Bills game. They have officially turned a corner. Seahawks defense has five straight games now where a team has scored 20 points or fewer against them, and the Rams didn't score a touchdown. Yep. Like, the Seahawks have gone – they're kind of in the Ravens category of we forgot about them because their defense was so bad and they had a couple stinkers in there. They now – especially the fact that they could get the one seed.
They flipped the switch. And, well, to be fair to their defense, yes, they stunk at the beginning of the year. They've seemed to have flipped the switch, but they've also played some pretty shitty offenses, except for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
With a hurt Jared Goff.
Well, the Jets are in hyperdrive, dude.
I think it's fair to ask, did the Jets give the blueprint to beating the Rams?
Mm-hmm.
It was a big-time blueprint game.
Yeah, no, they this is a dumb thought, but I've actually crossed my mind, like, what's stopping? I guess the government is the answer to this, but just go with me here for a second. What's stopping a team from going, like, last second, fuck them up, all fans in the stadium? Like, what if the Seahawks are in the NFC championship? What if the Seahawks get the one seed,
mm-hmm.
NFC championship?
Flash
game,
mob.
Don't tell anyone, and then boom, you show up, and they're like, you know what? We know this is risky, but we want to go to the Super Bowl.
They can't arrest all of us.
And they would win the game.
Yeah.
Because I do think that, like, players and teams aren't used to fans, uh-huh. that it would be a shock to the system.
A lot of states have exemptions for religious activities.
There you
so
go.
If you were to call football it the Church of the Twelves.
Yeah. I've just.
Get everybody to show up.
That has crossed my mind that, like, some team could just pull that out last second and be like, oh,
uh-huh.
well, guess what? Packed house, loud as fuck. Like, Rodgers, his entire game is cheating at this point. What would he do?
I think you can tweet out a flash mob and mm-hmm. just arrange for people to show up.
Yeah.
I think whatever the Chargers have is contagious, and the Rams have caught it. That's my theory that I'm working with. Because the play towards the end of the game where the Rams put the ball down and the Seahawks picked it up and started running with it, the guy didn't get touched on the Rams. That was a play that the Chargers would make.
Yes.
That was I can spot a Chargers play from anywhere.
Yep.
That's a Chargers play. There were a bunch of plays, actually, in this game that remind me very much of something that the Chargers would have done. The Rams have kind of taken on that personality of the roommate. I don't know what it is. I don't like it. And I guess maybe the Chargers have taken on some of the Rams' personality, swung the other way on it.
It's crazy that the Colts and the Rams could not make the playoffs, and you would – a couple weeks ago, been like, those are two teams that are going to be a tough out.
I think the Rams will still make it.
Yeah, no, but there's a way that they cannot.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, no, I do too, but who's starting for quarterback? And hopefully their defense can shut down. I don't trust the Cardinals right now. That game's going to be weird. I'm going to take the under in that game right now.
Well, yeah, if it's Wolford against against the Cardinals?
Yeah, just the way that those two teams are playing and like the knowing each other very well. I don't know. That's just a whatever.
I want the Rams in the playoffs.
Not at the Bears' expense.
Not at the Bears. Well, wait, no. No, if the Rams win, you're good, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
I want the Rams very badly
in
the playoffs.
Correct. No, but if the Bears lose and the Cardinals win, the Rams would go to the playoffs. So that would be the Bears.
I want the Bears in the playoffs, and the also Rams. The Rams can come along too.
I'm excited for these playoffs. I hope they stick with seven teams because it does feel just, I don't know.
Well,
way
people out there that
open.
Are complaining about, oh, we're going to get a mediocre team into the playoffs. Guess what? It's more football.
Yeah.
You are actively rooting against more. I want you to know for your own sake so you can hear it out loud. What you are advocating, and that's one less NFL football game.
Right.
So just so you know, we're on the same page here. If you're still comfortable with that position, then I guess do you. But you and I, we will go on different paths at that point.
Correct. I mean, I've been watching every bowl game. I don't know how people don't watch every bowl game. Coastal Carolina losing was. I ended up hating that team. I don't know why. I think it was because they just faked injuries all the time. But yeah. I ended up hating that team. That was a weird ending, too. All right, let's do Football Guy of the Week and Who's Back of the Week, and we'll send everyone on their way. Baby Braun of the Week, because it's only you and I and Bubba here. Billy and Jake and Hank, they all get a vacation. We're here because we wouldn't miss a show. So just if you're looking for like, hey, who's the hero of this podcast? Well, we just named the three. It's three of us.
Bubba,
that will
take
work.
A bow.
Yeah, Bubba, take a bow, yep. Three of us that will work no matter what. Everyone else, like, whatever. I'm not vacation.
Billy has worked very hard this year.
Yeah, Billy's
he needed
worked
a break.
Really hard.
He needed
Billy to actually sent us an animal fact. Mm-hmm. Like, he sent us one line and was like, boom, my job's done. He probably said to the people, I think he's with his family, he probably was like, hey, guys, I got a little work I got to do today. Gonna need a few hours. Uh-huh. And then he sat in his room playing Call of Duty. And then at the very end, sent us a half-ass popsicle stick animal fact. He was like, oof. There's
he probably just Googled animal facts or just typed it in the Twitter search. I'm actually going to look it up on Twitter and see if he stole
Billy's
this from
listening.
Anybody.
Billy's not
Let's
listening
see.
To the show right now, is he? No chance.
No. Well, he might be because you gave him credit earlier.
I did?
Yeah, somebody might tell him to listen.
Wait, when did I give him? Oh, the swag thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Baby Braun, we'll just do your Baby Braun.
Well, Baby Braun was going to be Mike Tomlin for me because of the wine comment. I would also say whatever is currently inside Lars's uterus would qualify as a Baby Braun.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that will be our Baby Braun of the week. Let's see how his parlays did. He had Jets money line. Okay. He had Jets money line, Broncos money line, Titans money line. All right. Let's do... Football Guy of the Week. Football Guy of the Week. So we have four. Jake Marsh sent us. Jake Marsh did a lot more than Billy. No surprise. Football Guy of the Week nominees. Giants head coach Joe Judge, leading up to Sunday's Ravens game, he said, with all due respect, let's forget about Christmas. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that. Ohio State OC tight end coach Kevin Wilson said he was stuck in the office and missed out on his 25th anniversary with his wife by tweeting, missed out on a great night with my lovely bride. Got some great triple option plays.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And
she knows what she signed up for.
The fact that he's a triple option coach is so much better.
Too. Yes.
The fact that, like, some great new triple option. There hasn't been a new triple option play in 50 years.
Listen, she knows. She knows that when you're the coach's wife, you know, you get to call the plays at home.
Yep.
But if he's staying in the facility, he's still calling the plays. That's how it works. Hall of Fame coach Bill Cowher, when tweeting about the unfortunate passing of Kevin Green, he said, heaven just got better on defense. That was such a great quote.
Yeah. And listen to Bill Cowher today talk about just the NFL in general and hearing his, like, he hasn't been in Pittsburgh in what, 15 years?
He's a name, by the way. He's trying to float his name out there.
Yeah. Bill Cowher is a great name to float out there.
He's back
like
out there.
A retread coach that's going to come back.
Yep.
He still has the most perfect Pittsburgh accent.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to listen to.
But that's such a great, heaven just got better on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven.
I always like it when they accidentally
heaven's going to switch to the 4-3.
I love it when they toss out like they accidentally use the word hell because they can't get out of their football vernacular. They're like, heaven just got a hell of a defensive end. Yeah.
Wouldn't want to be a quarterback in heaven right now. Kevin Green just passed. all right. And then Titans center Ben Jones did not let a Green Bay snowstorm stop him from walking out on the field barefoot and saying a prayer to honor his brother, which he does before every game. I was going to make fun of it, and then the prayer thing.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very nice. That is a football – it's a very football guy thing to do, to see bad weather and be, like, less close and manly. All right, so those are our football guys of the week. We'll tweet it out. I don't know how Kevin Green doesn't win this, the Bill Cowher quote. That is just such a great – like, that – Bill Cowher, that's the eulogy. That's it. He's just
just up in heaven,
actually
like, beating the shit out of out of like Otto Graham.
Yeah, someone's actually pissed because they were going to do Kevin Green's eulogy, and Bill Cowher just stole their finishing line.
Yeah,
like that was going to be the final line of the eulogy that brought down the house.
It would be sick though because we don't know what heaven is. If you just get up there and like,
what do you mean? It's the all 22.
But if the thing that you, it's snow football is what happens. Yeah. But if you get up there and your job was just to be super violent, you get to go up there and just start kicking the shit out of everybody because it makes you happy, right?
Yes, yes. All right, so vote for football guy of the week, football guy of the week. We will tweet it, we will blog it, football guy of the week. All right, let's finish up the show. Who's back of the week?
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Bubba, let's finish up the show. What do you got?
My who's back is our boy Chet Hanks.
Oh,
booyaka, booyaka.
Rastaman. Yeah.
So I saw he's doing a 60-day challenge where we're improving our mind, body, and soul.
Oh,
so
I'm in.
I don't really know what that pertains, but I'm assuming we're going to get some workout stuff, some life advice, some motivation from Chet.
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
Where do I sign up for this and how much?
I don't know. The only bad news is we're going to be starting on day 3.
What do you mean?
He started on Saturday.
That's actually
which is
smart.
A wild move.
No, yeah, that's good. A good move.
It's good.
I started. All right, so my who's back's kind of related. We're doing hard bodies in 2021.
Yeah.
I had 2 years ago was year of the core. This year was 20 push-ups, 20 squats every single day for 2020. 2021, hard bodies.
What does that mean?
We're just going to get hard.
Hell yeah.
However you want to get hard, get hard.
I'm in.
By the end of 2021, you will be able to bounce a quarter off my abs and ass.
I'm in. I need to get my back hard first.
Dude, it's everything. Like, we're going to have a hard mindset.
Yeah, what
like,
about mind? That's the thing.
Yes.
Like, does the mindset grow the hardness from the inside out?
Dude, it's all going to be like, people are going to look at us and they'll be like, these aren't soft podcasters. These are fucking hard ass men. Last of the hearts.
You know what? We're the first of the new hards.
Correct.
Of the next generation of being hard.
We're going to be, so join me. Anyone who's trying to better themselves, we're doing a little runway diet from tomorrow, Monday, or today, Monday, to Thursday.
Monday's not going to work for me.
No, it's a listen, this is what, you want to get hard?
I'm telling you, I'm being honest, I'm giving you a hard mindset right now.
It's a pre-diet, so this is going to be you're going to shock your body for the next 4 days to try to prepare yourself for January 4th. That's when we start. But this is just a pre-diet to be like, hey, maybe things are going to be changing around here in the old tummy.
I'm going to have a hard time falling into any sort of diet when the Bills are playing Monday Night Football. Right off the top, that's an issue with me.
All right, just think about it. Maybe do a salad for lunch.
Last night, salad for lunch.
My dinner was 2 sleeves of crackers, a block of cheese, and 2 ice cream cones.
That's hard.
That's soft. Oh, no, that's soft.
That's paleo.
No, that's soft. I need to get hard.
Okay.
We're going to get hard bodies in 2021.
I'm going to get hard during the day tomorrow. I'll be hard.
Perfect. Just
and
shock
then at
your
night,
body.
Shock I'm going to get
body.
A little soft.
Do me a favor. Next 4 days, shock your body in some way. Let it know that shit's about to get real around here on January 4th or shortly thereafter.
Does Chet Hayes have any sort of slogan or name for his system, his wellness system?
No, we need to work on that.
Yeah, okay. No.
Hit him up.
No, hard body is gone.
All right.
What about I've taken that.
Jamaican me hard body.
Don't get it confused. Chet Hayes is a soft body.
I might do a meld of both systems.
Chet hard.
Chet is so hard, dude. No. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to get a tattoo. Part of my hard body, 2021.
Chet has a ton.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to catch up.
All right.
He can't. He has, like, his whole body's covered in tattoos. I'm a blank canvas. Which would you rather be?
Probably Chet Hayes.
Yeah, no, fuck awesome. That. Fuck
Chet's
that.
A man. I'd rather
yeah,
be Chet.
Chet is fucking sweet.
Fuck that.
That dude kicks ass.
Isn't his
ass.
Dad like a... Never mind.
Who's Mac his dad?
What?
No, I'm fucking with
you. Okay, I thought
you... You sly
God
dog.
Damn it, dude. You got me. You're good. You're good, you. All right, PFT, you're who's back.
My who's back of the week is the Lowman Trophy.
Yes.
We have the finalists for the Lowman Trophy. We teased it last week. We said Jacoby Buchanan from Army, the Buchanan ball. He was our first finalist. He's nominated. The other nominees are Torrey Carter from LSU. I think he's been nominated twice before. This is a third nomination for Torrey Carter from LSU.
Always a bridesmaid, never the bride.
We also have Mason Stokey from Wisconsin.
Stoke, yeah.
Ben Mason. We got a couple Masons out there. Ben Mason from Michigan. He's a recurring winner of the Lowman Trophy. And then finally, we've got three Masons. Holy shit. Mason Wake from BYU.
Yep.
So we've got three Masons. That's spooky. Jacoby Buchanan and then Torrey Carter. Those are the nominees as voted on by our esteemed Lowman Council. Shout out to Chevy, the Chevy Silverado, the official sponsor of the Lowman Trophy, and the official sponsor of Fullbacks Everywhere for putting this all together. We're very excited. We will be announcing the winner of the Lowman Trophy, I believe, right before the Heisman Trophy.
Yes, right before the Heisman
Trophy. We're
going to
sneak in there and
steal
some thunder.
Right before Trevor Lawrence wins the Heisman.
Steal some thunder from Trevor Lawrence. So, again, mm-hmm. It's Jacoby Buchanan, Torrey Carter, Mason Stokey, Ben Mason, and Mason Wake. That's incredible.
Let's go.
Mason, the name of fullbacks. The name of Chevy Silverados, too. Chevy Silverado, the toughest, grittiest truck in the biz.
I love it. It's going to be a great night.
Magical
oh,
night.
Fuck.
We always do the pigs in a blanket.
Well, no.
We do the chicken wings.
Bodies. Shit, what?
Dude, that's
all right,
hard.
So January 6th, I said, if you go back and you listen to the tape, I said January 4th or shortly thereafter.
What about cheat day?
Well, no, I'm saying shortly thereafter is January 6th.
Okay.
So we're good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I always put the shortly thereafter in there as a legal loophole to get me out of my own diets.
Very smart.
All right, let's, should we do a number? Should we fake it and say that we got it right?
69.
No, we would never do that. Just so everyone knows, we would never do that. I shouldn't have said that because now people are going to be like, you're going to fake it.
No, I'll keep Big Cat honest.
All right. 100.
52. Uh-oh. Is it broken?
Nope.
Okay, good.
That would have been heartbreaking.
I rely on that for 100,
everything. 100. 100. 100. Wait.
What
did you say, Bubba?
52.
It's 52. Let's go. Fuck you.
Let's
I
go.
I should have said the shit beforehand.
New champion.
People could see it.
It's
not me and PFT. 52. Fuck Jake in the face.
New
champ.
I'm the
new
champ.
Yeah.
Yep.
New fucking champ.
Sorry, Jake. I got the belt.
We should get a belt or a crown for you to wear.
Now, Bubba, will you be keeping the number?
No.
Okay, great.
Smart, team player.
Good. Yeah, I'm going to put it back.
It's actually worth it.
Yes, very nice of you. I'm sorry. It sucks that we didn't have a full house, but it still was awesome.
You still would have picked 52 anyways.
Yeah, and it was awesome because guess what? Fuck everyone else. You know what? Maybe that's the end of the game. No, actually, we'll keep doing it because we're addicted to fucking.
That's straight up karma. You showed up for work.
Yeah,
you get rewarded.
You show up for work, you win absolutely nothing except the satisfaction of getting a ping pong ball right at the end of the show. Wednesday, best of with new interviews, so get ready. We'll see you every Wednesday.
Love you guys.
Oh, also,
Billy said
lambskin
was used for condoms until recently.
Very cool, Billy. Nice fact, Billy.
Way to know about condoms, nerd.
I can't believe you got that. Take on me.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.